All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Campus Chronicle podcast. I'm your host, Ben Hemmer, and I'm joined with my partner, Mr. JJP, Jaden Park. And first off, what we've got to talk about, Jaden, is Kirk Cousins signing with the Raiders. What are your thoughts on this?
I thought your mic wasn't on. I think that's a great move, especially if they draft Fernando Mendoza, which they should.
They are.
Yeah, they should. He'll be a great like developmental piece, and he's a good backup if they need a backup.
And especially, I've been telling people this, he started for three different teams in his career, right? And if Mendoza were to go down, he can start for him, right? You're talking about a guy not just has...
Every team has basically like their franchise quarterback, but like what happens when that quarterback goes down?
Exactly.
Or like they can't play. Like you always have to have a backup. Like sometimes the game was won by a backup quarterback.
Exactly. So and Kirk Cousins isn't just a backup. He started before. He started for the Redskins. He started for the Vikings. He started for the Atlanta Falcons, right? And I like the move a lot, Jaden. Now the real question is, all right, you know, how many games are they going to win, right? I like what the Raiders have done in free agency. They added Quay Walker. They got Devontae Wyatt.
Jalen Naylor.
Jalen Naylor. They got some other guy from the Packers. They got Quay Walker, and they got, who's the other guy they got? It was a linebacker.
Didn't they sign a kicker, too? Matt Gay.
No, they already have Daniel Carlson as their kicker. They have Brock Bowers. Didn't he
retire or something?
I don't know, but they have Genty. They have Brock Bowers. And then you add in Mendoza, and you add in Kirk Cousins. I think it's a great move, and he can also teach Mendoza a lot of stuff too, because
Quay Walker
and N'Kobe Dean.
It's a great team.
I think it's underrated signing.
It's gonna be like the Patriots last year, like what they built.
Let's hope it works out.
Not the end goal. They're not gonna make the Super Bowl yet.
No.
But I'm saying like it's gonna be like their records are gonna jump up, and they're gonna do like a lot better.
Yes.
Like they're not gonna be like the number one.
They got Linderbaum, which is a great move. Sometimes bad teams have to overpay for good players. Yeah. That's just what you have to do. I like what the Raiders did, and not only can Kirk Cousins start games for Mendoza if he were to go down, but he can also teach him a lot of stuff, right? Like, hey, this is how you approach this. This is when you watch film. This is how you approach a daily NFL life, right? And I like what the Raiders did. I was hoping that the Bears were going to sign Kirk Cousins, but we have Case Keenum, but I love the move a lot, Jaden. It's a great move for the Raiders and for the NFL. And, you know, Kirk Cousins, this is probably his last year. Last one. Did you see they signed him to a 5-year contract?
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. He's not even going to be here
for five years. His agent is like the best in the NFL.
Is it Rosenhaus?
I think
it's Drew Rosenhaus.
He's made like $380 million. And what has he done in his career?
He's been a solid starter.
Like he's just like Aaron Judge. Like he performs in the regular season, but when it comes,
I agree with
like
that.
Postseason or when it's time to shine, he's just not the guy you want on your team.
I agree with that, but he can teach Mendoza a lot of stuff, right?
He can be his mentor. He's a great mentor for him.
And also, if Mendoza were to go down, he can start for him.
If Mendoza's like not ready to start yet. Like some rookies aren't ready to like be in the NFL yet.
You have a guy that's been a reliable starter.
Kirk Cousins can start for a couple weeks and Fernando Mendoza can like learn the ropes from him and then he can take over.
Obviously we know Fernando Mendoza's gonna go number one, but who's gonna go number two after that, right? And I think it's gonna be Arbaro Reese, but Jaden, I'm going to say this. I think Jacob Rodriguez is the best linebacker in the class.
He's like really underrated in the draft. Like,
100%.
They got him going like the second, third round.
Now, you got Arvo Reese, who's the most flat. Like, I thought about this when I was driving here today. If Jacob Rodriguez was on Ohio State, he'd be the undisputed, no doubt, number one linebacker in the class. He won the Buckus Award, and people were still questioning him. Can you believe that, Jaden?
He was really in talks for the Heisman.
I know. He was like seventh in the Heisman voting. And it's
like mid-season, they were saying that he might win the Heisman.
Yeah.
Because like there was no determined favorite yet.
I thought he was going to. And then obviously, you know, Mendoza ended up winning. And
well deserved.
Yeah. Well deserved. I mean, Mendoza, you know, speaking of Mendoza, Christopher Columbus High School and Miami has had the National Player of the Year for basketball and the Heisman Trophy winner at the same time. Can you believe that? So Boozer won the National Player of the Year for basketball, which the Bonzo should have won. And Mendoza won the Heisman. So that's two from Christopher Columbus High School in Miami. Shout out Christopher Columbus High School in Miami, Florida. I don't think he saw us, but Jaden, I love the move a lot. It's gonna make the Raiders a better team.
But like you just said, AJ DeBonta was like top three player in college, and they're gonna give the war to Cameron Boozer because his name and because
he plays at Duke.
Yeah.
If you put AJ DeBonta Duke, he'd be unanimous.
It's like AJ DeBonta averaged the most points
exactly
in college. He didn't even win Big 12 Player of the Year. Jaden Bradley's not even the best player on his team. And on top
that's crazy.
Of that, he didn't even win National Player of the Year.
Exactly.
Like, what did Cameron Boozer do better than A.J. Dabonte?
I think there's two players on Arizona that are better than Jaden Bradley. Braden Burries, Koa Pete, and I think the... who's the big man for...
I might put Krivas above Jaden
Bradley. I think
Bradley.
I'd rather put him over.
Jaden Bradley is not essential to that team.
No, heck no.
If you took him off, they're still... I mean, they might not go, like...
To the Final Four?
They might not go to the Final Four. They might not have the success that they did, but they're still a good team without him.
Yeah.
He's just a good add-in piece.
Yeah.
Like, it's like adding KD to the Warriors. Well, the Warriors are already good. But, I mean, you add in KD, obviously, they're great.
Mm.
But it's like, if you take KD off the Warriors, they're still tremendous team.
But
they still made the finals.
Steph won a ring without KD before.
Exactly.
So, like, you know, and he won two twice without KD.
Yeah.
He won in 2022, and he won in 2015.
And he proved himself after that, 2022 as well.
Yeah.
Just him, like...
Well, he had Klay, but he was that was...
It was kind of...
That was kind of injury Klay, but...
Kind of washed up Klay.
Yeah, Jaden, like I said... A.J. Dabonza brings more value to his... A.J. Dabonza single-handedly carried BYU to the tournament this year.
They had
Richie Saunders.
Like 40 points in that March Madness game against Texas.
Crazy.
And they still couldn't win.
Oh.
Like Because Richie Saunders went down with an injury. He tore his ACL, I think. And then they have, like, Rob Wright. But, I mean, it's Rob Wright.
Yeah,
like,
he was solid at Baylor his first year.
It's okay. He's okay. But, like, A.J. Dabonza single-handedly carried BYU to the sixth seed in the March Madness tournament.
Yeah. And he averaged the most points for the freshman, like you talked about.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Cam Boozer is a great player, but he's not A.J. Dabonza.
It's like Cameron Boozer is not in my top seven right now.
All right. Let's name him.
Keaton Wagler,
Yaxo Yanenberg.
I would take
A.J. Dabonza, Darren Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bennett Sturtz over him.
I think Bennett Sturtz over him.
Who else you got? Koa Pete, Braden Burries. Mm-hmm. I'd take over him. Kingston Fleming. I would take
Kingston
over
Flemings.
Him.
Did you say Caleb Wilson? Caleb Wilson.
And Nate Aiment.
That's nine.
That's 10.
That's 10. I wouldn't take him in the top 10.
Nate Aiment, I would take over him too. Like, it's because of his last name because he was on Duke. Like, that's just. I mean,
you're a decent player. You're okay. It's just like.
You're not A.J. Dabonza.
You're
not Darren Peterson. Like, you're not Nate Aiment. You know, you're not all those players. But, Jaden, I told you Michigan was going to win, man. I told you. I was right. I was 2 for 2 in my picks. We had UConn. I had UConn winning, and I had Michigan. That UConn game wasn't even close. Like,
yeah.
I knew UConn was just going to dominate that game. Like,
Illinois didn't really have a chance. Keaton Walker's a ball hog.
He is. Every single time he had the ball, he shot it, bro. Like, he just... And he missed, too. Like,
I mean, like, you can be a ball hog if you're going to make the shots.
Yeah, but
I mean, like, he's a good player, but you're not... that good of a player.
No, he's better than Boozer, but he's
like, he had
not.
Like 50 points that one game against like Purdue, but it's like, if you're not going to play like that every time and be consistent with it, like, just don't hog the ball. Like, I like Stojakovic. He's a great player.
Oh, great player.
He should have had the ball in his hands.
He should have. All right, Jaden, who do you have winning tonight?
Like I said, Michigan by 13. It's not even like, just like Charles Barkley said on the like the post game after they blew out who
I
they
turned
played.
It off Arizona
just,
I turned it off
it's just
I knew
like
it was over.
Like I thought Arizona and Michigan were like kind of on the same level
Michigan,
but it's like Michigan is not on the same level as anyone in this tournament.
No,
like there's so much. If they I mean did they play Duke in the regular season?
I don't think they only had like three losses. I think
yeah
it's they lost like, Purdue, they lost Illinois.
It's just like the losses that they had were just unfortunate, but it's like no one is close to Michigan right now.
No,
the way they're playing, they didn't even need Yaxel in the other game. No. And he wanted
Yaxel
to come
got
back.
Hurt, and they still
Bro,
won by 30.
They're up 20, 30 points, and he still wants to come back in the game to play. It's just like that's heart right there.
Yeah, that's
the want to win.
Yeah, and they won by how much did they win by? Like 20, and without Yaxel,
they've won by like they've scored 90 points in every game they played, and they've won by at least 10 points in every game. It's just like that's. That's like UConn level dominant in that one run. And it's like no one is on their level right now.
Nobody.
Like that Kentucky team with Anthony Davis, no one was on that level.
Oh.
The UConn 2023 team, no one was on that, or 2024, one of them, no one was on that level, and it's Michigan this year, no one's on that level.
I've seen people say this. I think Michigan could be the best national championship team in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of people. Dave Portnoy, I think, said it on Barstool. I think a lot of people have
like
said it.
The way that Arizona was blowing teams out, I thought it was going to be a close game. I thought it was going to be a good game. They won by like 30. They blew them out.
Without
Yaxel. Yeah.
With Yaxel being limited the whole entire game. And, man, Jaden, like you said, you know who I'm going to pick. I'm picking Michigan tonight to win. I just think they're the better team. I like UConn. Dan Hurley, man, that dude is crazy.
Yeah,
he's
there was
wild.
Like a 30 for 30 documentary last night about him.
He's
and about like his brother.
No, speaking of his brother, So Luke Murray, Bill Murray's son, is leaving to go to Boston College. I told my dad this on Saturday. If you're Dan Hurley, do you bring your brother Bobby on as an assistant at UConn? I mean, why not?
You could.
Why not? I mean, why would you? Why not, man? I mean, you know, you have a spot open. Why not bring on your brother on as an assistant coach? And obviously, he was a legend at Duke. And why not, man? I mean, if you were Dan Hurley, would you bring your brother on staff? I would
want to. I mean, if he doesn't got anything else going on, like you know, other brothers have like actual coaching jobs and they want to stay with their teams and everything. But like, if you don't got nothing else going on, and
go coach with your brother.
Just like, go ahead.
I like Dusty May a lot. May is. Do you see what he was doing before that? The Illinois game? He was scouting.
He was scouting the game, and he played the second game. And you're supposed to be getting ready with your team and everything. He was literally.
Was locked in the
broadcast area, literally like taking notes because he knew he was going to win that game.
Yeah, he knew.
Confidence. Because they were hating on him because they're saying you got a game to play. Like you still got to win.
Dusty was locked in. Knew. Yeah. But yeah, man, you know who I'm taking. I'm picking Michigan to win. They're the better team. They've been the better team all season long. And you didn't see the Fab Five was there?
Yeah, they were all there.
That was cool to see. And
because Yaxel called him out. He said that this Michigan team might be better than the Fab Five.
If Chris Webber didn't call that timeout, I think they would have won that. Remember in Uncle Drew, the scene where Kyrie, he says to Chris Webber, he's like, all right, preacher, something happens. We got no more timeouts left. I just realized that like 2 years ago that was because of Chris Webber calling that timeout. But yeah, man, I'm picking Michigan to win. What do you think this course? You think they're going to win by 13?
They're going to win by 13. I think it's going to be Michigan. I don't think they're
75, UConn 60.
Yeah, their 90-point streak's going to end. UConn has a good defense and everything.
But I just think Michigan's
UConn doesn't have a chance.
I think they have a chance, but I think Michigan.
I think it's going to be Michigan 73, UConn 60.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I just think Michigan's a better team, right? And speaking of UConn, the women's team, man.
They disappointed me, man.
What is going
on,
man?
What's going on with Geno, man?
Geno is... He's
crashing out.
He's...
It's just like, I didn't think there was any chance UConn could lose this year.
No.
They were dominating teams, and then they just...
They made Iowa look like a middle school team.
And then AZ and Sarah Strong just didn't play. They didn't come up. They just came short. They were shooting like 3 for 20 combined.
And you know who UCLA's only last two was?
Texas.
UConn.
UCLA?
Yeah, they lost.
They lost to Texas.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just UConn. Uh-huh. Oh, never
mind.
They
didn't play UConn. They lost to Texas, and then they blew out Texas.
Once UCLA played against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament, I knew the way that they played against them. Yeah. I knew they were going to win.
It's just like UCLA is
just too good.
UCLA is on a different level than everybody else, but then UConn is above that. So I don't know how they lost to South Carolina, but yeah. I mean. I knew it was going to be – it was either UCLA or UConn that was going
to
win.
I picked UCLA to win in one of my brackets.
If UConn could beat South Carolina, they would have won it. But UCLA, they got the upper hand on South Carolina. Like,
yeah.
It's just like you have a 6'7 player, Lauren Betts. You have Kiki Rice. You have all these seniors that are so experienced and have played the game and know what it takes.
And then you have like a bunch of three-point shooters that are good. And then you have Sienna Betts.
Yeah, she didn't even do good, but I mean
– Sienna?
Nah.
Or Lauren Betts or –
Sienna didn't really even play in the game. Like she didn't get it. She doesn't have a chance yet, but she's still like providing for the team. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like they blew them out because South Carolina wasn't ready for that team.
No, they weren't. Like, I think they were so humbled by beating UConn
their Super Bowl with the UConn win. Yeah, they just didn't want to. They didn't show up. They didn't want to win.
No,
they didn't have the want to win. Like that's what you got to have.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it.
Showed up and they were just like, yeah, we're just here.
Yeah,
and UCLA's like, we're going to take this thing.
Yeah,
like,
we're not messing around. We're going to come in here. We're going to dominate this team. And they ended up, the score wasn't even close.
No, they beat them by like 30.
It was what they did against Iowa, did against South Carolina. Like,
it was 79-51.
Ooh, that was almost 30
and
points.
And that was UCLA's first time in the national championship game.
And they made it look so easy. They made it look like they've been there before.
And like I've been saying, like, Gabby Jaquez is like the glue to that team. Like
isn't that Jaime
was
sister?
There. Jaime was at the game.
He was?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a game?
And Jaime, no, he played yesterday, like the day before, and he dropped like 31 points the day before.
Dang.
And he was at the game. Dang. But I mean, Gabby Jaquez is the glue to that team. Like, she's the reason they win those games.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you have Lauren Betts, you have Kiki Rice, but like, Gabby is what ties everything together. She had 21 points, like 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, she's the all around player that they need on the team. Like, if you didn't have her, you'd be decent still.
Yeah.
You'd be good off. But, I mean, she's what ties everything together. Like, she's like a Kate Martin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but when you have Lauren Betts, it makes it a lot. You know, Hayden averaged more points than she did.
Yeah.
But it also, Lauren Betts has a lot of great players around her.
And she you can literally just lob the ball into her and she just lays it up.
She's so big.
She's just taller than everybody else.
Yeah. I bet if you double team her, you can kick it out and then the 3-pointer would make it, right? But if you double team somebody else and Lauren Betts is wide open, they were just too good of a team. And
they were just on fire from the start.
When you get out hot from the jump and you keep it going, you're not going to lose. You're just not.
And it was all seniors that scored in that game. All 79 points came from seniors.
Sienna didn't score once? Dang, that was... I wouldn't be surprised if Sienna in the portal this year. I mean, because Lauren's obviously going to go to the league.
She won a championship with her sister, so
I mean what better thing could you ask for? I mean, speaking of that, did she add a deal into the portal?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you start a six-year senior Fearbach when he brings defense to the team over her. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, what are your thoughts on that, Jaden? I'm not really a huge fan of it, to be honest.
I don't know why. I don't even know why Kelly Fearbach was, I don't know what she brings to the team other than
defense.
Yeah.
Like, Addie Deal's a better shooter. She's more talented. She's going to South Carolina.
Where she's going?
Yeah. If she can't play at Iowa, how is she going to play at South Carolina? Like, I just don't, I think that's where she's rumored to go. I don't know if she's committed there, but.
I was gonna say if she goes there, like
she will not play.
No, and
plus her parents moved to
what's the coach's name? Dawn Staley gets so many good recruits in that she's never gonna get a chance to play.
No, and I can see why she transferred because she was mad.
Did you see Audie Crooks under the no one's gonna take her. She doesn't play defense.
No, she doesn't play it defense at all.
Like Audie Crooks, if she was taught defense from the start, maybe. But it's like. No one's going to take a defensive liability. You can score 50 points on offense, but the basketball is two sides of the game.
Where do you think she'll end up?
I wanted to go to Notre Dame, but I don't think...
I've been seeing Notre Dame, UConn.
I don't think one of these big teams is going to take her because she's just a defensive liability in the paint.
At UConn, they're going to want you to play defense. Texas, they're going to want you.
Gino's not going to take her. South Carolina's not going to take her. Texas is not going to take her. Any of these big teams...
I wouldn't either. She's a great offensive player, but she's not good at defense.
She was like second in the nation in scoring, but it's like... Like I said, the game is two sides.
Yeah.
Like, you have to play defense.
You have to be good both. You can't just be good at offense and not be good at defense. You have to be good at both to be a great player. Now, I'm not saying she's not a great player, but I'm saying that to be an elite-level player, like a Caitlin Clark, nobody's like Caitlin Clark, but to kind of be on her level a little bit, you got to be both great.
Like, obviously, Caitlin Clark gets blown by and everything, but she still exerts herself on defense. Like, she still wants to play defense. Audie Crooks just stands in the paint.
And I saw some people on Twitter. They're like, Dawn Staley is still frightened by Caitlin Clark dropping 41 points on her. What was that, 3 years ago? Maybe that's the
40-point triple-double.
41-point triple-double, but yeah. She single-handedly carried Iowa to that national championship game against LSU. And speaking of LSU, Angel Reese just got traded
just got traded for a couple picks or something.
That was... I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Jaden?
She's not that good of a player.
No, she's... All of her rebounds are just throwing it off the backboard.
A 27 and 28 first round picks.
Say that again.
A 2027 and 2028 first round pick. Just not worth that.
No.
But I mean, either way, the picks, they can't even sign the picks because they don't have enough roster space.
Yeah.
So it's like they be cutting the first, second, and third round picks. So I mean, what are the picks going to do for you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're not really going to make a big impact on the team, but who do they have on their team that's good? I can't even name you one player.
I mean, they had Alicia Gray, but
they have Ryan Howard.
Half of the league is gonna be in the free agency pool.
Yeah,
that starts.
You see,
so it's
most of the. Did you watch the draft, the expansion draft at all?
That one girl that played at Iowa State was number one.
Oh, what was her name? Carlton.
Bridget Carlton. Yeah.
What team was this? These were for the... I think Toronto was getting a team, Tampa and Portland,
No, there
was
only two.
I think it was Portland and Toronto that are getting a team.
Something like that.
And Jaden, who was that because of? Who was that expansion because of? Mrs. Caitlin Clark.
And they got their pay bump, too.
Yeah.
Who was that because of? They got the CBA.
You know that's because of?
Caitlin Clark.
Caitlin Clark. Asia Wilson is also a tremendous player, too. I think she's driving that, too. I think Asia Wilson would become the GOAT, but I think Caitlin Clark would be Kobe.
I think Asia is gonna be
like MJ.
I think she's already the GOAT right now, honestly. Yeah. Like she's already the GOAT.
Caitlin will be the second coming of
Caitlin Clark will be the next Asia Wilson.
Yeah.
In the future.
People like Kobe.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of Kobe, I got a nice sweatshirt here at Nike.
Like, so Michael Jordan came first, and then Kobe.
And then so, LeBron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I am crazy that she got traded to the Dream. I don't know if she'll make a real big impact on that team. I mean, she's not that good of a player. And speaking of Caitlin Clark, did you see that she was in a suite with Magic Johnson?
Yeah, Magic Johnson and that, like, the dude that played.
Capital One guy?
Yeah.
He was at the – I know. He was sitting at the game.
And then Magic Johnson said that he was sitting in the suite with Caitlin Clark.
Where's Spike Lee been at? Why is he –
That's what I'm saying. I said I'd be missing Spike Lee. Like, yeah, he's always at some game, but I've never seen him anymore.
He'd be disappearing. Like, where he be at, man? And dude, Charles Barkley's been making bank from the March Madness stuff he does, a pregame show, and all the ads that he's in.
The ads, they have everything.
He's making a crap ton of money. And but yeah, man. Dude, the Final Four is in Indianapolis again. How many years has it been? 2021 it was in Indianapolis. I think it's in Indianapolis in like three more years. Like, we need to find other places here to go besides Indianapolis. I'm not trying to hate on Indianapolis, but like, you know, we need to find other places like, you know, more NFL stadiums, you know what I'm saying? I think more NFL stadiums need to get roofs on it. Like, so that way that we can play Final Fours there, right?
But I mean, it's kind of bad because like when you play in a dome, the shooting gets worse. Like, your depth perception and everything, like,
yeah, the air, yeah. Air, like, it just, it like, just,
like, it, it's cool because they want to sell out. They want to sell out. They want to sell the most tickets they want. They want to have everyone there. But it's like, it's bad for the players because they can't, they're not used to playing in a football stadium. You know?
Speaking of that, did you see the Bears did not get their comp picks?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? What are we doing here, man? And if you're not going to give them the comp picks, you might as well just get rid of the rule altogether. Right? And, I don't understand, man. Every other team got their compensation picks. Why don't we get it, right? And I just don't understand it. And good talking to you, Jimmy.
We will resume on Wednesday.
When
put
it all together.
We'll put it all together like we did last time.
Good, nice and little quick.
Hopefully,
episode
we have
today.
A good story for you for the championship game.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's a good game.
Hopefully, go big blue. Whatever.
I think Michigan's. Yeah, go big blue.
Go big blue.
Or go big red. Yeah. Okay.
Go big blue.
We will resume on Wednesday.
Go big blue.
Thank you guys for listening.
Enjoy March Madness.
Enjoy the last of March Madness. I'll be tuning into the one-shotting moment. That's my favorite part of the tournament.
Yeah. I will too.
Catch you guys.
I'll be staying up for a long time. So yeah.
What's going on, everyone? We're back. It's Wednesday. Me and Ball Knowledge Ben.
Yep.
JJ,
we're back,
and
guys.
Ball Knowledge Ben are back.
We have a lot to talk about. So let's get right into it. Michigan Wolverines. Congratulations, Jaden. Did you watch this whole entire game?
I didn't. I watched the whole thing.
I watched the whole thing too.
I told you that I thought it was going to be a blowout.
Hey, I mean, I told you
UConn,
it'd be close.
UConn kept it close, but I mean, Michigan, they're just too much.
Dude, Dan Hurley is crazy, bro. Yeah. He's just. Did you see what he was doing? They were booing him when they introduced Dan Hurley.
He be headbutting refs and stuff. It's insane.
It's just. But UConn wasn't going to back down, right? And I think that speaks to Dan Hurley and the type of coach that he is. Not really a back down type coach, right? And. Jaden, I've been thinking about this. Is Michigan an all-time team? This 2026 Michigan team.
I mean, I wouldn't put them top 10.
Okay,
but I mean
the past five champions, we can rank them. I think 2024 UConn is the best.
Yeah.
I think,
past five champions.
So Kansas in 2022, UConn in 2023, UConn in 2024, Florida 2025, and Michigan 2026. Let's rank them.
Okay, I would put the UConn team first.
2024 UConn number
2024
one.
2024 UConn.
Number two, I want to put Kansas, but I think Michigan. You got to put Michigan.
I mean,
two.
Kansas was a good team, still.
But like
I'd put Michigan two, Kansas three.
Yes,
the other UConn team, and then Florida.
No, I would go Florida UConn,
and then UConn.
Yeah, all great teams, right? All great teams that were phenomenal. But my order would be 2024 UConn, 2023 Michigan, 2022 Kansas, 2025 Florida, and 2023 UConn. So. I think that's a great list, and congratulations to Michigan. You know, Dusty May is just a tremendous coach, and
you know, shout out Elliot Cadeau.
They
all counted him out. They said they couldn't. He said they weren't even guarding him from the.
Did you see his
line.
Like his video at the end? Carolina. They said they doubted us. They doubted us. But
they kept saying I was trash. But I mean,
Jaden, do you know why Michigan won? Because of the more experienced team. When your whole. I saw this the other day, Jaden. Every single one of Michigan's starters are portal guys.
Yeah, their whole starting lineup is transfer portal.
That's why they won, because there's a more experienced team. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. when you have a lot of experienced guys on your team, you're going to win a lot of games. You just are. That's how it is, right? And I'm not saying UConn wasn't experienced. Speaking of that, you see Tarris Reed? He could have won a title with Michigan. So left Michigan to go to UConn.
He stayed 2 years at Michigan when UConn won the two, and then he went to UConn and he lost to Michigan.
Like, and then he could have won it this year. Like,
he could have won three championships.
He could have.
Like Caravan could have.
I know, but why Michigan won? Because it's a better team, right? They're better. They're well coached. They're more experienced, and at the end of the day, they just made more shots. And Jaden, they shot what? They shot like 3 for 14 from three.
Yeah, they didn't even hit a three until like the second half, basically.
But you know
like,
why they won? Because of free throws. They got to the free throw line, and they made. I think I saw like they made like 24 out of 26 free throws. That's really good. You're gonna win a lot of games in March Madness.
Yeah, they were fouling guys out too. Like Solo Ball had to sit like the entire second half basically because he picked up his fourth foul with 16 minutes left.
Yeah.
So they were pushing the ball, they were getting it in the paint, and it's like when you can dominate the paint like that and get the free throws, get the fouls on people, like you're probably gonna win the game.
No, you are. And Big Ten rules college sports. Wrestling, we want it, Penn State, football, we want it with Indiana, women's basketball, we want it in the UCLA, and basketball now with Michigan. Come on now. SEC, you don't own us anymore. All right, it's Big Ten's world now. Big Ten is becoming the new SEC. And the year before that, Ohio State won in football, right? And it's a great time to be a Big Ten fan. And at the end of the day, Michigan was just a better team, right? They won because they're more experienced. And when every single one of your starters on your team is from the transfer portal, you're going to win a lot of games. I've told you this before, Jaden, and I'm going to say it again. Experience wins in college basketball, no matter where you've played. If you played D2, D3, and no matter where you're at, experience guys win. And then you add in a little bit of transfers in there, you're going to win a lot of games. And Michigan, with their whole entire starting five being transfers, that's how you win games. Plain and simple. Experienced guys win games in big moments of the game. That's why they won. And I don't like Michigan, but I wanted them to win because it's good for the Big Ten. And congratulations to Michigan. And Dusty May and Tom Izzo had the same amount of championships?
Yeah.
Tom Izzo's been coaching since 1995.
It's crazy.
And Dusty May's in his year two. Year two as his head coach, and he's doing this. Do you see his son, by the way? His son looks just like him, by the way.
Who?
Charlie May, Dusty May's son. Yeah. Doesn't really play, but congratulations to Michigan.
Shout out Elliot Cadeau again.
Yep.
I mean, hey, they doubted me. He didn't even play at North Carolina anymore. Like, they were benching him. They were bringing him off the bench. There was questions about him.
Speaking of UNC, we'll get into that in a little bit.
Most outstanding player. And shout out Yaxo, too. He was playing with injury. He had his, like,
dude, did you see the air ball that he had?
Yeah, that was bad.
But I mean, hey.
He wasn't even 100%. He was maybe, like, 50%. He wasn't playing like himself.
When you're 50% and you rely on your team to get back buckets for you, that shows how good of a player that you are, right? Yaxo, he may not have had his best game, but he relied on his teammates to get buckets for him, and that's why they won the game. He relied on Cadeau. He relied on Merez Johnson.
Johnson's a good player, too.
He is a very underrated player. He relied on Mara. And that's why. And I think most of Michigan's players that came in with them are mostly Big Ten players. Like Merez Johnson played at Illinois. Ade Mara played at UCLA. Roddy Gale played at Ohio State, who came off the bench. And it's crazy. And congratulations to Michigan. Just a well hard fought game, and it went down to the wire. And it's great to see. You know, congratulations to Michigan. And yeah, I can't believe we're already out of the college basketball season, Jaden. This is crazy. I remember when we were sitting here previewing Iowa basketball, you know, what was it, 5 months ago, 6 months ago, and now we're already here.
We were just previewing the college football season not too long ago.
Already here, but so next up, Bill Self is returning to Kansas, right? I love this move, right? I love this move, and the thing is, for me, is why is Badunga entering the portal? Why is Tiller entering the portal? Why is I get on Marco Jackson because he didn't really play. I get Jamari McDowell, but like Bryson Tiller was our starting center last year. Forrest Badunga was our second best player on the team, right? And I just don't get why they're entering the portal. I don't get it. Like that's the thing in college basketball and college sports. You can't trust anybody these days. Like. Excuse me. But yeah, Jaden, you can't trust anybody these days. And it's so, like, imagine saying to a player, can I trust you? Like, can I trust you? Like, I would not want to be a coach in any sport. I just would never want to do it. No offense to the coaching profession. I just would never want to do that. With all the NIL stuff and all the needs that players want these days, it's becoming a mess. But I told you this before we got on air here. If I'm Kansas, I'm doing whatever it takes to land Tyron Stokes. I'm doing whatever it takes.
He's still uncommitted?
Yeah, he isn't. I mean, dude, it's April already.
They got TK, right?
Yeah. We're already past the McDonald's All-American game. Like, buddy, you need to commit somewhere.
Yeah, he's like the number one recruit. You'd figure he'd be like committed in sophomore year.
Yeah. But if I'm Kansas and Bill Self is returning, which is a great move.
I mean, it's a great move, but like how much longer does he have, really?
Yeah. Like, my first priority is landing Tyron Stokes. Then my next priority is going out and getting in the portal and getting experienced guards.
Do they still have Milton Council?
Now he's graduated. So they're going to have... If Darren Peterson comes back, which I don't think he will, they'll have Flory hopefully comes back. I don't think he will, but they'll have Taylen Kinney. They'll have Luke Barnett, who's a recruit. They'll have Jasper Bardwell, who actually might reclass from 2027. I saw that. That'd be huge if he were to reclass. And then hopefully that we get the number one player in the country, Tyron Stokes, which I think would be huge for Kansas. And but yeah, if I'm Kansas, my checklist this offseason. One, land Tyron Stokes, the best player in the country. Number two, hire a GM. But you see most college basketball teams around the world hiring a GM. Kansas needs to do it. Hire a guy like Nick Collison. Hire a guy that has NBA experience, that has NBA front office experience. Number three, build the right roster. Put together the right pieces to win a championship, right? And Bill Self does not want to go out on a low note, Jaden. He wants to go out on a high note, right? And if I'm Kansas, like I just said, I'm doing whatever it takes this offseason to land Tyron Stokes.
It says that he's choosing between Kansas, Kentucky, and Oregon. Like, that's basically just Kansas.
Yeah.
Like, why, Kansas is like
80%. There's no place like it.
And it, he's friend with TK, too. That's like his good friend. So, I mean, might as well.
Yeah, you might as well. But you're only going to be there for a year. So, yeah. Like...
It's not like it matters.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's a bad team that you're going to be on.
Kansas is one of the best college basketball teams of all time. And, but yeah. Bill Self does not want to go out on a high note. So, make sure... If this is Bill Self's last season, go out on a high note. Land experienced guys in the portal. Land Tyron Stokes. Put together the right pieces to win a championship. And, yeah, hopefully that Kansas can get a couple guys back. Hopefully that Tiller can come back, but I don't think he will. And, yeah, do whatever it takes. Bill Self, if Bill Self coming back tells you something, it tells you that he wants to win a championship. He doesn't want to leave on a low note. He wants to win another championship. And, you know, he's 63 years old. You know, how many years does he have left? I think this will be his last. I really do think this will be his last year. And just do those three things, Kansas. Land Tyron Stokes. Put together the right roster. Put together the right pieces. And hire a GM. Those are the three things that Kansas needs to do to be able to be successful this season and win a championship with Bill Self. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens this offseason if we do land Tyron Stokes, but I do think we will. Even though he did sign a deal with Nike, I think that's kind of weird that he would want to, you know. But, Kansas basketball, I'm looking forward to it. I hope that we put together the right pieces to win a championship. And, speaking of UNC, Jaden, like we said, Michael Malone, former Denver Nuggets NBA champion head coach, has become the new head coach in North Carolina. What are your thoughts on this?
Really good hire. I don't know why the Nuggets ever fired him anyway.
No,
he wasn't his fault. Coach for Jokic and Jamal Murray. He was a good developmental
coach. Aaron Gordon
he took him to the championship, and then like basically the year after he got fired.
It's not, at the end of the day, it's not the coach's fault.
The coach is always the one to blame for the team. Like
that's, the players are the ones that are playing.
That's always the scapegoat. Like, do you want the coach to suit up, tie up his J's?
You want Michael Malone to go out there and play? Like, it's not the coach's fault, right? We see this all the time. Like, the coaches are not the ones that are out there that are playing. The coaches are not the ones out there that are shooting threes. They're not the ones out there that are committing fouls. The players are the ones that are out there that are doing that. The coaches are just coaching them to do that.
The coach can only do so much.
Exactly.
Like, it's like defense is 50% of the game.
Exactly.
Coaching is like not even 50% of the game. It's like maybe 25.
Yeah.
25% of the game. And then the other is like the players playing. The players have to make the decisions on the court.
Mm-hmm. But then, Jaden, it's like, how are you a good coach then?
Yeah.
Like, how was Spoelstra a good coach? You know why? Because of LeBron and all of them. You know why Phil Jackson was a good coach? Because MJ made him a good coach. Kobe made him a good coach, right? And
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a really good hire for North Carolina.
For sure. So, like, especially because his daughter's on the volleyball team. I didn't even realize that until like 2 days ago that his daughter was on the...
A lot of recruits will want to come play for Michael.
Especially because his NBA experience, coaching guys like, you know, the best player in the world right now, even though I do think Luka won MVP this season. Oh, speaking of Luka, we'll get into him in a little bit. I just remembered this. But yeah, I think it's a great hire. You remember when Canes hired Jock Vaughn on his staff? I think it's like that, except Michael Malone has coached at the highest level, right? He's coached guys like Jokic. He's coached Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon, just a lot of great NBA players. And I think he can bring that knowledge and that expertise to college. And college is a lot different than NBA. I think he realizes that, and I think that he'll make the adjustments to be a good coach at UNC, right? And I love the hire, especially because you see what he said? He spoke with his daughter before he talked to his daughter before he got the UNC job. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
And so his daughter, Bridget, is on the UNC volleyball team, which I didn't even know that. When did you find that out?
When you told me.
Today?
Yeah.
Yeah, his daughter is actually on the UNC volleyball team, which I think is really cool. And to have your dad... Hey, you won't have to feel like that you're away from family anymore. Your dad will be right there, you know? You won't have to go away from him. He'll be right there with you. And so, yeah, I love the hire, right? A guy that brings a lot of NBA knowledge, a guy that knows the game of NBA, has been around the game of NBA. You know, his dad, Brendan Malone, was an assistant coach for the Detroit Pistons with Dennis Rodman and Isaiah Thomas and Bill Laimbeer and Mark Aguirre and John Staley. All those guys, man. You know, Brendan Malone was a great NBA assistant coach. And now his son, Michael, who was an NBA head coach with the Denver Nuggets, I think it's a tremendous hire for UNC. And, hey, what is it with UNC and bringing professional coaches to their school?
That's what they
Bill
want.
Bill Belichick, uh-huh. Michael Malone. Who's up next?
They want the big names.
They do, but it's not necessarily going to work out, right? Yeah. Just because Bill Belichick was good in the NFL doesn't mean he's going to be in college.
He hasn't been good so far.
And, you know, he hasn't adjusted to college. College, like I said, college football is so much more different than the NFL. The speed of the game, the more physical players, the physicality of the league, man, is just way more different. But, yeah, I love the hire by UNC. You know, I think with his NBA knowledge and his NBA background, he can tell these kids, hey, look, if you want to get to the NBA, here's what you do. Here's what to do. Here's what not to do. Here's when you watch film. Here's when you approach this. Here's when to not approach this. Here's when you, you know, all that stuff. And I love the hire, man. It's great for UNC. And I thought that they were going to hire Billy Donovan, but again, another great hire by UNC. And interesting to see how it works out for UNC, how they do their first year. I'm going to be looking, even though I'm a Kansas fan and an Iowa fan, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing how UNC does in the back of my mind, in the back of my head. You know, I cannot wait to see how it goes.
I'll be rooting for him.
I'll be rooting for him, too.
Especially, he just got done dirty with the Nuggets.
Yeah, like, it wasn't his fault at the end of the day. It just really wasn't, you know. You can't blame the coach for the players not missing. You know what I mean? Like, if the players miss a free throw, you can't blame the coach for that. Yo, coach, why'd you not make that free throw? Like, the coach is not the ones that are making baskets. The coaches are the ones, not the ones that are shooting free throws. The coaches are not the ones that are committing fouls. The players are the ones that are doing that. At the end of the day, it's on the players, not the coach. But, yeah. So, in Iowa... I was working on an extension for Coach Ben McCollum, who actually turned down the UNC job. Heck yes, Ben. That's what I love to see. Ben McCollum said, you know what, UNC? I like the offer, but I'm not going there. This is my dream school. All right. I was born in Iowa City. I grew up an Iowa fan. I've always been a fan of them. I'm not leaving Iowa. And he shouldn't leave Iowa. After what he did in his first season as Iowa's head coach, it's just insane. Coming into the season, did you think Iowa was going to go to the Elite Eight?
No.
No, not even a chance. I thought that they'd go to the March Madness.
I know they'd go to March Madness, but I didn't think they'd make out the first round.
Oh.
Not even the second.
I was at the Clemson game, and I did not think Iowa was going to win, to be honest with you. But I was thinking about this when I was yesterday. Fred McCaffrey on one team had the Murray brothers, Jordan Bohannon, Joe Wieskamp, Luka Garza. All those guys that are three out of the four of them are in the NBA. And he couldn't make the Elite Eight. He couldn't make the Elite Eight with Keegan Murray, Chris Murray, Luka Garza, Jordan Bohannon, and
Joe Wieskamp. Did he even make the Sweet 16 with them?
No, he didn't even make the Sweet 16 with the National Player of the Year, Luka Garza, and the Murray twins, who are some of the best players to ever play at Iowa. In 16 years, he couldn't do that. Ben McCollum did that in year one, went to the Elite Eight. And he did that with a bunch of Division II players. You know why Iowa did that? Because Ben McCollum's a better coach than Fran McCaffrey. Ben McCollum is a better coach. He's a better... You know why Iowa hired him? Because he's a defensive-minded coach. Fran McCaffrey was just, here's his philosophy, right? We're going to score a crap ton of points. We're also going to give up a lot of points. That should not be a coach's philosophy at all. What your philosophy should be is, hey, we're going to score a lot of points. We're also going to play defense. We're going to make the defense grind it out. We're going to make them think about what they're doing. And, Jaden, give Ben McCollum the keys to Iowa City, right? And speaking of that, they landed Jaden Coon, a tremendous, tremendous recruiting win for Iowa, especially because he's from Storm Lake and that's where Ben grew up. Jaden, what are your thoughts on that commitment?
I mean, I saw that he decommitted from Creighton.
People are calling him the next Omaha Bloom in the comments. Like, bro, that's just not
true. That's not a good comparison.
Not a good comparison.
But I think it's a great recruitment. Once I saw that he decommitted from Creighton, I was like, he's going to Iowa.
I knew that.
You got to stay home.
Especially because Ben is from Storm Lake and Jaden's from, you know, Storm Lake too. I think it's a tremendous move for Iowa.
Like, I watched him last year and then this year's state tournament.
He got hops. He can bounce.
He's tough.
He's bouncy. But yeah, that was a big recruiting win. And now for Iowa and the portal, I think Ben said the other day, I think he went on some show. He said, you know, we're really looking to go out and get a big traditional five, like a 7 foot and above guy. And that's what you want, right? Last year, Iowa had to play a lot of small ball, especially because, you know, Fulgaris wasn't starting. And yeah, their biggest guy in the court was Mania, who was 6'9", who's not a center height. That's tall, but that's more of a power forward height. But I think Iowa just needs to. It's going to be hard to replace Ben and Search. It is. But I believe, I trust Ben McCollum, and I believe in Ben McCollum and his staff and what they can do, right? And if they can get guys to fit their system and they can get a traditional big man to fit Ben McCollum's system, I think Iowa can contend for the Elite Eight next year, too. And, just land a big 7 footer who doesn't necessarily have to come in and average a lot of points. But can be a reliable big man, can stretch the floor, can play defense when needed to, and take the pressure off of Mania not to play center anymore. But I'm looking forward to it, Jaden. This is going to be a big offseason for Ben McCollum and the Iowa men's basketball team, and I cannot wait to see who Iowa lands. Hopefully that we get some 7 foot and above guy, because that's what we need right now. And Tate Sage is going to be really big. He's going to be, hopefully he's starting next year. Tate Sage is going to be really good. And Jaden, I don't know if Iowa can afford to keep Fulgaris. I like Fulgaris, but he was very inconsistent throughout the season. I mean, the only really time that he came on was in March Madness. He had spurts of good games in the regular season, but like
most of just March Madness fans are going to think he's a great player, but like if they watch the whole Iowa season, he was just a really inconsistent player.
I want to keep Fulgaris, but he's probably going to cost a lot. But if we can keep Fulgaris, that'd be huge. But I don't think Iowa will. But
because they need like a real big, like.
Alvaro Figueres is 6'10", but like
he's like a stretch type big. Yeah. Like he can shoot, but he's not like tough in the paint. He's not like that type of guy.
Yeah, and like I just said, Iowa needs to go and get a 7 foot plus above center, and
They need someone
like a Amara UCLA. I'm not saying you need him, but you need like a guy like that to be like kind of like the glue for your team that holds everything together, right?
And like kind of like an off-brand Zach Edey. That's what they need.
Yeah,
like they don't need.
We're not saying you need Zach Edey.
He doesn't need to be as good as Zach Edey, but just like the inside presence of him and like the rebounding skills and the defense.
Exactly. I agree with that. And Tavion Banks, I don't think he's going to come back. I think a lot of people have been speculating that he'll come back, but I don't think he will. I just think that his time is done. Maniel will come back, even though he was inconsistent last year. He had spurts of when he was good, and he had spurts of when he was bad. And so if Iowa can land a true point guard this year, replace Bennett Sturts, I think that would be huge. Like I just said, if they can get a true big man, I think they'll be good. And obviously you have Sage coming back. You have – who else is back? Trevin Yurick is back. I think he needs time to adjust to the Big Ten game. I just don't think he's ready yet. I think he should have redshirted his past year. Payne McCollum will be back even though he didn't play. My former classmate, a lot of you people know that. And hopefully that Beth Getz gives Ben McCollum an extension, right? Because he did things in year one that Fran McCaffrey could not do in year 16. And
Beth Getz is like the, what is she?
The AD for Iowa.
AD. I think my cousin saw her. Like, she lives in, like, Texas. So, like, she went to the Houston game.
You're saying
so,
Beth, like, Getz is in Texas?
I think so. I think she, look, I'll show you the picture.
Why would she, like, live in Texas?
No, bro? Like, she was at the Iowa game when they were there. Like, in Houston.
Oh, okay.
No, if she lived in Texas, that's crazy.
Beth Getz does, or your cousin?
No, my cousin does.
Oh. So, she probably lives in Iowa City, actually.
So, I think this is her.
Yeah, that's her.
Yep.
That's her.
They saw, she didn't even know who it was, but she was like, her friend was like, we need to take a picture with her.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, I don't know.
We saw her actually at a thing before the Iowa Clemson game when we were in Tampa. We were pre-gaming. We were at this, we got to talk to her for a little bit, and she's just really nice. And, Buff Getz is just a tremendous athletic director, tremendous AD, right? She's going to work on an extension with Ben McCollum. She got rid of, Brian Ferentz. She hired Ben McCollum. She fired Fran McCaffrey. I mean, she's done tremendous things for Iowa. And she's only in, what, year two, I think? This is going to be year three for her. I mean, she's just, she's a great AD.
Yeah, the whole family group chat said, shout out for firing Kirk. No.
You mean Brian?
Brian, yeah.
Yeah,
firing Brian.
I think that was her first real big move, right, of as an AD. Her second big move was firing Fran McCaffrey, yeah, and then hiring too. Ben McCollum, right? And but yeah, shout out Beth Getz, tremendous AD. I'm glad that she's Iowa's AD, and you know, she actually went to Clemson. She played soccer there. I did not know that. But yeah, so give Ben McCollum the keys to Iowa City. I mean, the dude is just a phenomenal coach. He's going to be in Iowa City for a very long time, and so yeah, looking forward to the future of Iowa men's basketball, and hopefully that we can land some big commitments here hopefully soon. And my Chicago Cubs, thank God they got a win last night, dude. It was about time. Our best pitcher, Cade Horton, just went down, which is unfortunate because he's our ace. Yeah, he's out for the year.
He's the ace.
He's our best pitcher. And dude got second in the NL Rookie of the Year voting. I actually should have won it last year. PCA finally. I was saying yesterday, I was like, PCA is due for a home run. And my man came through and got a home run yesterday. Moises Ballesteros looked good, got a home run. Alex Bregman played really well. I didn't really watch the game because I don't have Marquee. They said it was going to be on Hulu. Marquee was, and then I keep checking Hulu. It's not even on there.
You're
like
lying to
Marquee,
you.
Stop. Quit lying to me, bruh. If it's not going to be on Hulu, then don't say that it's on Hulu. Like,
Nico's having a good season. It looks like he doesn't have a home run yet, but he's
Nico Horner's not really a home run guy. He's more of just like
300.
He's more of just like an RBI guy. Yeah. Like a Javier Baez,
like,
type.
Knocking runs in.
Yeah, that's what he's meant for. PCA, on the other hand, he's more of a home run guy. But yeah, PCA, he needed that home run last night, right? He needed that. I've been saying PCA is due for a home run. And my man came through last night and got a home run. It's about time, man. He got his first home run of the season. Hopefully that he gets many more throughout the season. And Cubs finally got a well-hard victory last night against the...
Hasn't even been that many home runs this season yet.
No.
It's been like... Did you see that guy that robbed three home runs?
No, for what team?
I think it was... let me look him up. He robbed three home runs in the same game, and like no team has ever done that in a single game.
Hmm.
His name is Joe Adell or something. Hmm. Ado. He's on the Angels.
Oh, okay. I think I've heard of him, but yeah, Cubs won 9-2. But yeah, just a great win by the Cubs. You know, they needed that, right? Obviously with losing to the Washington Nationals at the very beginning of the year. Everybody thought, oh, this season's over and all that stuff. But for the Cubs to get a well-hard-fought victory, it's just a great win. PCA needed that home run last night. Moises Ballesteros got a home run. I don't think Ian Happ had a home run last night. I don't think he did. PCA got one, obviously. Alex Bregman is playing really, really well right now, and Nico Horner's playing well. Even though, like I just said, he's not a home run guy. He's more just like an RBI guy, but that's what you need, right? And Michael Bush, I think, is kind of in a slump right now. He's our first baseman. And, Michael Bush, I don't know what's wrong with him. I mean, last year he was hitting dingers, you know, off of pitchers. And this year he's kind of struggling right now. I think Michael Bush, his home runs will come in time, right? You know, you can't force it, right? Just time will tell, right, when he gets the first home run. And, I thought Javier Assad pitched really well last night. He's not Cade Horton, but he pitched really well last night, and much needed win for the Cubs. You know, bounce back win, and hopefully that they can get a win tonight against the Rays. Actually, at 5:40, if it's on MLB, if it's on ESPN Plus. So, Jane, you know what the crazy thing is? So I logged into Marquee Sports Network where they carry the Cubs games at, right? And so I logged in. I have it on my phone and on my TV. TVs throughout our house, actually. And I logged in, right? And it says that this content's not available in your area. Like, why would you make me log in and then it says that? Like, I just don't understand why it would say that. Like,
Marquee Sports, you blacklisted because you're too close to Chicago?
Chicago's like 5 hours. We drive up there all the time because I got cousins channel, that live there.
But I can't watch like the Indiana Pacers because it's too close.
Yeah, because they
are like Minnesota teams.
Why are you going to charge people money and then block the games out? It makes no sense to me.
Like block the games out because they're the teams closest to you. Isn't that the teams that you would root for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but most people in Iowa, they either like the Bears, they like the Chiefs, or the Vikings.
Yeah.
Because those are the closest teams. Kansas City is really close to here.
And they might have like ties to it because they live right there.
Yeah. Like my grandparents, they live in Kansas City. They're Chiefs fans. My mom and dad lived in Chicago. They're Bears fans. So am I. I have aunt and uncles, and I have cousins that live in Chicago. You know? And why would you want to black that out from people? And I actually have another aunt that lives in Kansas City too. So why would you want to black that out from people, right? I just don't really get it. You make people pay all this money, Jaden, and then you just black it out. Like I don't get it, right? And but yeah, you know, I don't want to rant about that. You know, it is what it is. Marquee Sports Network. I'm not really a big fan of it, but yeah, hopefully that the Cubs can get a victory tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays at 5:00. I think it's 5:40. I think the game is at. Look here real quick.
Dude, I'm looking at MLB stats. The Dodgers are literally a super team. They're second in the league in runs, first.
Hold up.
In
5:40 is when the game is tonight for the Cubs.
They're second in runs, first in batting average, first in home runs, second in total bases. Like,
that's what happens when you sign every single that's
everybody.
That's why there needs to be a salary cap in baseball, Jaden. I've been telling you this before the season even started. The Dodgers signing all these free agents is the reason why there needs to be a salary cap.
Best player right now is Andy Páez.
Who?
He's batting .452 and he has 3 home runs.
Better than Shohei Ohtani?
Yes.
The best player in baseball? Dang, bro. How is Shohei doing this year so far?
He's batting almost .300. He got 3 home runs, 8 RBIs.
That's solid. Decent. How is Judge doing? I saw he had 2 home runs against the Giants and he just kind of went quiet after that.
Where are the Yankees at? They're first in the AL.
I thought the Blue Jays would be first.
Aaron Judge is hitting .237, 3 home runs.
How many RBIs?
7.
So Shohei is better.
Ben Rice is better on the Yankees. He's hitting .379, 3 home runs.
Who? Like, who was Ben Rice? But yeah, Jaden, the Dodgers signing a bunch of free agents shows that there needs to be a salary cap in baseball. I've told you this before, and I'm going to say it again. Like, if there's not a salary cap, then the Dodgers signed Edwin Diaz, for Christ's sake. Like, they have 5. You know the Dodgers in their bullpen have, like, 5 closers that they can use? Let me say that one more time, Jaden. The Dodgers have 5 closers that they can use on their team. Closers to close the game out. That's unbelievable. They have Edwin Diaz, I think. I don't know if they still have Blake Treinen or not. I don't know if he's retired or not. Kershaw's done. Did they still have Walker Buehler? I don't think they do. I don't think they have Walker Buehler. Look at the Dodgers roster. Look at pitchers that they have. I know they have Edwin
Yamamoto
Diaz.
Yamamoto can come off.
Oh yeah, Yamamoto. Duh. Well, he's a starter though, so.
Yeah.
I know they have Yamamoto. I know they have Edwin Diaz. I don't know any other pitchers that they have. Kershaw just retired, so I don't really know any of the other pitchers that they have.
They got Blake Treinen still on their roster.
Oh, yeah. Damn, bro's like almost 40 and he's still pitching. Jeez, bro.
Like, most of them are injured. Most of them are on, like, injured reserve.
Are they really?
Yeah. But like, their best players are still on. They still got Blake Snell on injured reserve.
I forgot Blake Snell's on the
Tommy
Dodgers.
Tommy Edman, Enrique Hernandez, like, and they're still, like, 10-1 right now.
Who's only lost to?
They lost to they lost twice to Cleveland.
The Guardians? The Cubs beat the Guardians. But it happens, though, right? You're not going to win every single game. You're just not. And, yeah, man. But I'm going to say it before this last time I'm going to say it. The Dodgers having all those free agents shows that there needs to be salary cap in baseball. There does. The NFL has one. The NBA has one. Why doesn't the NBA just MLB have one?
If you don't have a salary, he was just rolling a tire down. What in the world?
What are these kids doing?
Dude, what's going
on? Is that
on?
Coach?
No, that's not coach.
I thought that was,
What's going on here, bro? Okay, anyway, like, if they can just sign every, they can technically have Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani on the same team. What are we doing here? Like,
what are we doing here?
Why is there not a salary cap?
There needs to,
every single like professional
MLS has one, NBA has one, NFL has one. Why doesn't MLB have one? It makes no sense to me. Like
if the Dodgers win again, then they should go on strike until they get a salary cap.
Yeah, there needs to be a salary cap. It makes no sense to me. Because then you have the team like Dodgers. Don't they have Kyle Tucker too?
Yeah.
How's he doing?
They just signed him.
Yeah.
He's doing pretty good this season. Let me see.
A former Cub, actually. I was hoping they were going to resign him, but they could not afford to pay him what he wanted to be paid.
Let me see. So, on the Dodgers, he's hitting .268 with a home run.
Only one?
Eight RBIs.
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's solid.
I mean, like, when you got, like, five other all-stars, yeah, you can only do so much.
Yeah, and the Dodgers manager is a tremendous manager.
Yeah.
Now, I get you have all these superstars around him, but... You know, Dave Roberts actually was a player for the Red Sox.
He was?
Dodger manager. And he's still one of the most important bases in Boston Red Sox history. I think it was in the 2004 World Series against the Cardinals. He stole a base that like kind of sealed the deal for the Red Sox. But, yeah, they have a
like, they got Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman,
All-Star,
Kyle Tucker,
All-Star,
Teoscar Hernandez, Mookie Betts,
Teoscar's still on the team?
Yamamoto, Will Smith, Tyler Glasnow, Max Muncy.
All-stars. All those guys have been all-stars in their career.
They got a whole starting lineup of all-stars.
All right. Say all those guys again. I'll tell you what years they've been all-stars.
Shohei.
Pretty much every year since he's entered the league.
Freddie Freeman.
Pretty much every single...
Kyle Tucker.
Last year he was.
Teoscar Hernandez.
I think 2021, I think he was an all-star.
Mookie Betts.
I think 2019, then now he's been an all-star.
Yamamoto.
I think... Was he an all-star last year?
I think
he was last year. I think he might have been.
Will Smith.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. No, I'm kidding. I think he was an all-star 2024, 2025, I think.
I think Tyler Glasnow won 1 year, right?
Yeah, with the Rays, yeah, I think he was. And him and Blake Snell were uh-huh. the best. You know the actor Colin Murphy? The guy that plays Scarecrow in Dark Knight? That's what Tyler Glasnow looks like. So next topic we have to talk about, Jaden. The NIL and the transfer portal. This is getting out of hand, Jaden. This is so bad. Did you see the thing that Trump wanted to sign?
Yeah.
Like, I agree with some parts of it, but the part I don't get, why do athletes get 5 years? You should get 4 years and one transfer. That's it. Now, the exception should be if, let's say you're a graduate student, then you should get multiple years, yeah, or your coach leaves.
Or say you already used your transfer, but then you're like going into your fifth year, sixth year, you've gotten injured, and like you want to get something new, like you want a fresh start or something. They should be able to get two, maybe.
Yes, here's how you should get multiple transfers. If you redshirted, you get a medical redshirt, or a coach is leaving, or actually no, a coach is leaving. Do you think a coach leaving should give you another year of eligibility?
I don't think mid season. If it's like after the season, then it has nothing to do with it. But like if it's mid season, like you have to adjust to that and everything, and it's that basically throws your season off.
Yeah.
Because like you have to adjust to a whole new system, whole new coach and everything. So it's I would understand if your coach left and you wanted another year.
Yeah. There needs, Jane, I've said this before and I'm gonna say it again. College NCAA, don't point the finger at anybody else but yourselves. You did this to yourselves. When you passed that NCAA law in, what was it, summer of 2021, where athletes can get paid, this is on you. Don't point the finger at anybody else but yourselves.
The only thing they should get paid for is like the name, image, likeness.
Exactly what it says.
Advertisements, commercials, like anything like that. But why are they getting paid to be recruited? This is not the NBA. This is not the NFL.
Most of these guys aren't even going to make the NBA or NFL.
Like, it's cool that they're getting paid, and, like, maybe struggling college students could use that. Like, the walk-ons or something could use that.
Yeah, like Peyton McCollum for Iowa. Like, it's called name, image, and likeness. You know how Caitlin Clark was on those ads all the time with State Farm? That's NIL. That's what NIL should be. NIL is not, come here, we'll give you $1 million is going to play for you. That's like, not what it is.
As a coach, why do I have to pay you $2 million just to come here?
Like, exactly.
I'm not. That's not what NIL is.
No, it's not. And that's what it's become. And that's not what it should be. But that's what it's become. And Jaden, like I just said, the NCAA has done this to themselves. Don't point the finger at anybody else but yourselves because you did this to the NCAA. Now you have guys that are on their fifth. Remember, who is that quarterback?
Yeah. He's been on like
TJ Finley.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus, man. What are we doing here? Like, bro, it's just been bouncing from NIL check to NIL check. Like, man, just stay somewhere. Like, you've ruined your draft stock tremendously because you keep transferring places. Like, bro, just stay somewhere. I think it was an Iowa player that said this. I don't play the game for the money. I play the game because I love the game. And if you truly love the game, whatever sport you're playing, basketball, football, soccer, hockey, whatever it is, if you truly love your game that you're playing, you win a transfer all this time.
If you're truly good at the game and you love the game, you don't care about the money because you know you're going to make the league. If you have that same passion and drive for it, like, eventually you're gonna get recognized for it.
Exactly.
So it's like you don't need to get paid in college because you're going to make big bucks in the big leagues when you get there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, it's a good thing that they're getting paid for their, like, using their name and their image. Like, Caitlin Clark on the ads.
That's NIL. That's State Farm.
You have to pay her for that because, like, you're using her image and everything.
Or, like, Caleb Williams in the Fansville ads. That's like, NIL.
Like, if they're endorsing something or, like, their sponsorships, like, they're advertising for Nike or
something.
I have
no problem with that.
That's cool. That's what NIL is. But throwing a bag of money at someone and saying, come here. I'll give you $2 million, $3 million.
Like, that's not what it should be. That's what it's become. And it's so frustrating to me because now you see your star players, they're not loyal anymore.
They're like,
nobody's loyal anymore.
You gave me $2 million. He said he's going to give me $4 million, so I'm going to go here.
Like, and then you see those guys that their stats go down tremendously. Yeah. It's like, maybe you should have stayed at that school you were at.
So I'm at LSU right now, but Auburn said they're going to give me $5 million. Are you going to match? Like, that's literally the exact same thing as Nico, I am a whatever his name is.
We don't know.
Whatever his name is. Like, he said, you're going to give me $5 million and a Lambo or something. And they said, who do you think you are?
Yeah, like, buddy, you're not a millionaire.
Like, you're not Tom Brady, buddy.
No, you're not.
Like, so they just let him go. He's at UCLA now, and it's like, he won't have the same success as at UCLA.
No, that he was on a bad team.
Where was he? Tennessee?
Before? Yeah, he's at Tennessee.
Like, Tennessee, he had a good chance at maybe making the playoffs.
Like, remember when he played against Iowa in the bowl game? He did really good. He did.
But now he's at UCLA, he probably won't make a real bowl game.
He's had two different head coaches in 2 years. I mean, it's just so frustrating to me, Jaden, because there's no loyalty. You can't trust anybody these days. Imagine 12 years ago saying that NIL, that college athletes should be getting paid. Imagine telling Carl Anthony Towns 10 years ago that college athletes should be getting paid. Would he believe you?
No. Imagine Anthony Davis. Telling Anthony Davis that.
Or imagine Kevin Durant.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back in the day. You're going to get paid for this.
He would have paid millions if he would have. Okay. It's so frustrating to me. And you see your favorite players entering the portal because of money. And it's so, like, Addie Deal, for example. Now, Addie Deal had her up and downs at Iowa. But this is what happens when you start.
I understand if it's not for the money and everything, if it's not for
like,
NIL.
I get, like, if you're averaging 0.3 points per game, that's
like,
okay.
If you're not going to get played, like the coach said,
I understand
not
that.
Played. Or like there's certain circumstances that you need to go for a fresh start or something.
100%.
Like,
I agree with that.
But it's like, if you're just leaving for the money or something, then it's not good. Like, if it's for a better opportunity, I understand. But if it's just for the money.
Like, Forrest Badunga for Kansas. He was Kansas' second best player this year. Obviously, Darren Peterson. He was their second best player. He is an NBA draft prospect. Why are you leaving and then watch him go to another school and get worse?
Yeah.
You see guys that go to other schools that get worse.
I mean, I understand in the eyes of someone that probably won't make the league and everything,
most of those kids won't.
You want to get all the money in the world in college. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand leaving for that. But, like, if you're a top player and you know you're good and you know you're going to go to the league, it's like, why are you doing it just for the money? Like, you don't have no passion for the game. You have no loyalty.
I believe it was Logan.
This is like Steph Curry, Kobe, Dirk. They all stayed on their team. They didn't care about anything else. They were loyal.
Could you imagine how much money Steph Curry would have made in college if he had been NIL?
It's crazy.
I told my dad this the other day. He single-handedly carried Davidson against Kansas. My dad told me this because I wasn't like the age I was now to see him play in college. My dad told me he missed like one shot the entire game. Literally, one shot, Jaden, the whole entire game. He single-handedly, just like with Caitlin Clark, how he dragged them, how she dragged Iowa to beat South Carolina. Steph Curry single-handedly dragged Davidson to almost beat Kansas. That's crazy. We'll never, there'll never, ever, ever be another Steph Curry again. There won't be. Steph Curry is the best shooter of all time, hands down. Me and Jaden both agree on that. The things that he does is just insane. Like, there just will never be another Steph Curry again. Never. And speaking of that, did you see Seth were on the court?
Yeah.
That was cool.
On the court for the first time
and
together.
You see what number Seth wears? 31. You see he wanted to wear number 30? Like, Seth, what are you doing here, man?
He's going to ask his brother for number
30. Hey, yo, big bro, can I get your number? Like, bro, what are we doing here, man? What are we... enough about that.
He should have wore like 32, so he could be like 32.
I think Del Curry, I think he might have been 30, but... LaMelo!
Like, Del Curry would not be mentioned if it wasn't for Steph.
I mean, like, Del Curry was solid. He was a solid decent NBA player.
He was okay, but
he's not Steph. Yeah. Nowhere close. But yeah, Jaden. I think it was Logan Jones for Iowa. I think it might have been Katie Weijen. Like, he said, I didn't get paid a dime. I'm just playing the game that I've always loved since I was a kid. Right? And more people need to realize that. Like, you rarely see Iowa football in any Iowa athletics. I don't know if I'm biased, but you rarely see any Iowa athlete going somewhere else to get paid a bunch of money. You just don't see that. You know why? Because Kirk Ferentz and their staff and the coaches at Iowa, they truly do care about you. They believe in you and they want to develop you. Like Jay Higgins, for example, he had to wait 4 years before he started. 4 years. Let me say that one more time, Jaden. 4 years. That's like what that's a whole entire year in college. That's 4 years in college. That's how many years of eligibility you get. My man waited behind Jack Campbell, and he waited, and guess what? He became an All-American. Like, kids these days just don't want to wait. I don't know.
I need to play now. I want to be the star player.
Like,
and this, like,
buddy, you're a 3-star recruit.
That's like, how you just don't get drafted after that.
Man,
that's how your stats drop.
I was the best player on my high school team. I'm a 5-star recruit. Yeah. I have all these nice things. Like,
they think that they can be that guy in college.
Exactly. Like,
but you're not that guy anymore when you get to college. Like, you can be that guy in high school.
Walk-ons
like,
could play over you.
Yeah.
Like Caden Weijen, he was a walk-on. He had no stars to his name. Bro became an Iowa legend. An Iowa legend. He was a walk-on. He started at junior college. Like, oh man, I'm a 5-star recruit and I'm a player right away. No, you're not. When you get to college, stars do not matter. They do not mean anything to coaches. Yeah, the coaches recruited you to get there, but stars don't mean anything. A 3-star recruit could beat out a 5-star recruit. A walk-on could beat out a 5-star recruit. It's just whoever wants to put in the most work, will be the starter, plain and simple, right? And then I think those 5-star recruits kind of get triggered a little bit. They're like, man, screw this program. I should have been starting, man. And they think, oh, I'm going to go somewhere else and get paid. Like, and then you see their stats don't do well because they transferred there and they didn't end up doing well, right? And, but yeah, man, I just, it's getting out of hand, NIL transfer portal. And like, if you're the best player in your team, you do not have to enter the portal. And I feel like a lot of people these days think that they have to enter the portal because, oh, everybody else is doing it. Oh, you know, this best player on Duke isn't, nobody on the best player on Duke is not entering the portal, but I'm just using an example. Like, oh, let's say Boozer went into the portal. He didn't, but let's say Boozer went into the portal. Oh, then I have to enter the portal, right? No, you do not. If you want to stay, you can stay. Nobody's forcing you to stay on the team. Nobody's forcing you to leave either. Like, it's just, it makes no sense to me. And there's no loyalty, Jaden. Like, you can't trust a kid. An 18, 19-year-old kid, imagine sitting there in the living room at a recruit's house. His parents are sitting there with you, and the coach's kid's parents are like, or the recruit's parents are like, how much are you willing to pay? How much are you willing to pay my kid? As a coach, I would be speechless. I wouldn't even know what to think. You know what I'm saying, Jaden? Like, imagine I'm a coach right now, and you're a recruit, and your parents are sitting right here, right next to us. We're in your living room. I just got here. I'm recruiting you to come to, let's say I'm a coach at Auburn. I want you to come to Auburn. I want you to play for me. I want you to be my next starting quarterback. Your parents are sitting right here, and you're the recruit. You're an 18-year-old kid. First thing your parents ask, how much are you willing to pay? How much are you willing to pay my kid? As a coach, I would be speechless. I would walk out that door and I'd be like, see ya, you're not paying for money. I'm not paying you a dime. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, if you truly, truly love the game, you want to play for the money. You play because you enjoy the game, right? You're there to play whatever college sport you are because you're good enough to play. Play because you're good enough to play. Don't play because of the money. That's all I'm going to say, Jaden. And we could talk 2 hours about this if we wanted to, but what are your final thoughts on the NIL? And
it just needs to get fixed.
And you can't
in the transfer portal too.
Like, I don't worry enough. You can fix it. That's the thing. I know Trump is trying
it's
to.
It's just out of hand now. Like when they in 2021 when they made that, they weren't thinking of the repercussions and the issues that it would have.
No, and the NCAA, don't point the finger at anybody else but yourself, because you did this to every single college sport, and it's getting out of hand, and we're seeing the results because of it. So many guys are in the portal like none other. I think there's a record number of players in the portal this year for college sports. Yeah. That's not good.
There's a new record every single year.
That's not healthy. More. That's not healthy for the sport. Whatever sport you're playing, that's not healthy. It's just not. It's not. And it's so frustrating to me that I can't trust my best player. You know, the best players on our team, Forbidunga, I can't trust you, right? Because in the next year, they're just going to bounce and, you know, leave. They're going to leave for better money. And then you see them don't make the league because of it. It's just, they need to do something about it, and it's getting out of hand. And but like we said, Jaden, if you're averaging 2 points a game and you have a chance for somewhere, I have no problem with that at all. No problem. That doesn't bother me one bit. But if you're averaging 20 points a game, 20 plus points a game, and you were in a portal, you would get paid a lot. And you should not be getting paid. It's called name, image, and likeness for a reason. For college athletes to get paid off their name, their image, and their likeness. Like Caitlin Clark in those ads. Those State Farm ads when she was still in college. Caleb Williams when he was in those Fansville commercials. I'm trying to think of some other college athletes that were in
the
ads.
The whole UConn men and women's team have been in ads this year.
Oh, yeah. The Gino, the hotel ad. That's NIL. Do you think here's a real question. If coaches are in that, should they get paid money?
Not as not as much as the athletes do.
But I don't think they should get paid anything, because you're already getting paid like $1 million to coach a team. Like Gino Auriemma, he's getting paid a lot of money to coach that team. And but yeah, Gino, we both agree on this, that there needs to be ramifications on it. That you have to fix it. You can't tell me that the NCAA president is sitting there right now happy about how the transfer portal is going. If you're an NCAA president, would you be happy with all these portal entries? No. You cannot tell me that you're sitting there happy about all these players in the portal. Like, you created NIL. This is on you, NCAA. Don't point the fingers at anybody else but yourselves. That's enough of my ranting. Let's get into NFL draft here real quick. Let me cross this out here real quick. All right, Jaden. I've told you this before, and I'm going to say it again. Jacob Rodriguez is the best linebacker in this class. Now, you have Arvo Reese. You have Sonny Styles. Those guys are tremendous players. I'm not saying they're not bad players, but Jacob Rodriguez is the best linebacker in this class. The bucket, how are people questioning the bucket? They did the same with Jack Campbell a couple years ago. They questioned his size. Like, he doesn't have like the right twitch. Like, what does it even mean? They're just finding ways to they're just finding weaknesses on him. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, Jacob Rodriguez, whatever team gets him is going to get the steal of the draft. I firmly do believe that Jacob Rodriguez is the steal of this draft. And you see Mendoza's not going to be attending. Yeah. That's good. I mean, let the kid do what he wants.
With his family and everything.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I really do. You should have the choice if you want to attend the draft or not. And I like that the NFL lets them have the choice. You know, if you want to spend time with your family at home, go ahead. Spend time with your family. You know, and if you want to be at the green room at the draft, no problem with that at all. I like what Mendoza's doing. I like that he's with his family. I like that he wants to meet up with his family. And we obviously know that he's going to be number one overall and go into the Oakland Raiders. And I love the pick. Obviously, they haven't picked yet, but they're going to pick Fernando Mendoza. And do you want to do a top 10 mock draft here real quick? Do you want to pull up the order here? Okay. Let's do 10 picks. We won't do, full first round. We'll just do 10.
Here's your draft order.
All right. Number one, I'm having the Raiders. Obviously, taking Fernando Mendoza. Not even a question. Number two, the Jets. Ooh. I'm going to say Alvar Reese. I think the Jets need Alvar Reese. I think they need an explosive linebacker. Now, I said Jacob Rodriguez. You want to send that to me? You take a screenshot of that, send that to me? But yeah, like I just said, I think that I think Alvar Reese is a very explosive player. I think he's going to make whatever team he goes to a lot better. And, I think that it's whatever team gets him is going to be very happy. All right, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so
Bengals is number 10.
All right. Raiders, number one, Fernando Mendoza. No question. Number two, Jets, Alvar Reese. Cardinals three. What's their biggest need? I mean, quarterback, but they have Gardner Minshew. But I mean, I mean,
they're probably just going to wait until next year to get the quarterback.
Probably Sonny Styles, I think they could take. I mean, another great physical linebacker. Actually, Alvar Reese's teammate. They were two great linebackers. Titans, number four. I'm going to take Jeremiah Love. I mean, the Titans need to start. They haven't had a superstar running back since Derrick Henry. Jeremiah Love, I think, is the best. I think Jeremiah Love is the best player in this class. I really do. I think he's just, you know, obviously you have Mendoza, but I think Jeremiah Love is just the best player in this class. He's explosive. He finds the holes. He reminds me a lot of a Saquon Barkley type player. Just finds the holes. Is so explosive. Can make any run. Can find the holes quickly. And I think the Titans get a home run hire here. Or not a home run hire. A home run draft pick, but taking Jeremiah Love. I think... Don't you agree? I think Jeremiah Love is what the Titans need. They get their next Derrick Henry. They get their next franchise, you know, running back. And, so number five, New York Giants. I'm going to take Carnell Tate. I've been seeing a lot that he'll go to the Browns. But I think the Giants need another receiver, right? They have obviously Malik Nabers now. Is he going to be done? I don't know if he's – is he fully healthy?
Yeah, he'll be back for week one.
Okay. But who else do they have? They have Theo Johnson, who's a good tight end. They have
Wandale
Robinson.
They picked up
who'd they get?
The dude Isaiah Likely.
Oh yeah, from the right. He's a tight end though. But I'm gonna say I have the Giants taking Carnell Tate. I think that he slides right in with Malik Nabers. I think that's gonna be a great fit for the Giants. Number six, Cleveland Browns. I'm gonna say how do you say the guy from Miami, the offensive tackle, Mayoga or something like that. Do you know who that is?
From Miami?
Yeah, he's like an offensive tackle. I think his name is Francis Mayoga or something like that. I think the Browns need to...
Yeah.
The Browns need to protect Shador at all costs, right? Shador is our franchise quarterback. Browns need to protect him, right? And they got to protect him, right? Every good quarterback has a great offensive line. Even Tom Brady said that he had a great offensive line. And I think that the Cleveland Browns are going to... Pick Francisco Mayoga, a great offensive lineman from the University of Miami. Need to protect Shador at all costs, right? And I think if you get him, that's going to be Browns fans should feel good about that pick because he's a great player. He obviously helped protect Carson Beck for 1 year at Miami. Did great things. Number seven, Washington Commanders. I'm going to take Caleb Downs. I think he's the most explosive player in this draft. I really do. I mean, the dude is just a freak of nature for an athlete. He's just so. I think he's the best safety prospect in years. I think we've seen. I mean, obviously Kyle Hamilton you have in 2022, but I think Sonny. Why am I blanking on his name? Oh, Caleb. I think Caleb Downs is the best, the most explosive player in this draft. I think that he could play corner, he could play safety. Obviously, he played at Alabama, he played at Ohio State. I think that the Commanders need a starting safety right now, right? They really don't have a true franchise starting safety, and I think Caleb. Why do I keep saying Caleb? Caleb. Downs fits their scheme, especially with Dan Quinn being a defensive-minded coach. I think he fits right in with what they want to run. Number eight, Saints. My original pick was going to be Jeremiah Love, but since now they have Travis Etienne, I don't know. What's the Saints' biggest need? I'm trying to think of like who.
A wide receiver probably, but they don't have a quarterback to throw it to him.
Well, they have Shove, but I don't know if he's...
He's decent for now.
Ooh, who do the Saints take here? Where's some good... I think the Saints could take Mekhi Lemon. I mean, I really do think that he, the dude won the Bortnikoff Award. How did he, dude didn't even win the own, he dude wasn't even the best receiver in his own conference. Like, how does he win the, you know what I mean, Jaden? Like, how does he win the Bortnikoff Award for the best receiver in college football, but he doesn't even win the best receiver in his own conference? How does that make any sense? Jeremiah Smith is clearly the best receiver in college. He's been, ever since Jeremiah Smith entered college, he's been the best receiver in college football. I mean, he has been. And he's going to be next year, too. And, I think Mekhi Lemon fits right in with what they want to do. Now, he might not have a quarterback to throw him the ball, right? I know Tyler Shough is there, Rattler is there, but, you know, those are two guys that are mediocre quarterbacks at best. And do they have Derek Carr still? I don't think they do.
Who?
Derek Carr, the Saints?
No, he retired.
Oh, yeah, he did. Interesting to see how, if they pick Lemon, who throws him the ball. Number nine, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to take Reuben Bain. I think the Chiefs need to. Oh, that you just had number nine. Can you just?
Bengals is number 10.
Okay. Number nine, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm gonna take Reuben Bain. Right. I think that the Chiefs need to solidify their pass rush. You know, they have Chris Jones, but he's getting older now. You have Karlaftis. You lost Michael Dana. What team did he go to? I think he went to the Commanders. You lost Leo Chanel for linebacker. I think Chiefs need to solidify their defense. And I think getting the best defensive end in this draft is going to help the Chiefs a lot, you know, especially with Steve Spagnuolo, what he wants to run in the defense. And I think if the Chiefs get this guy, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. I mean, they already are with their offense that they have, but I think if they get a really explosive guy and, you know, Kenneth and Reuben Bain, I think that he will solidify their defense. Number 10, Cincinnati Bengals. There's a lot of ways you could go here. I'm going back and forth. I'm going to take Sonny Styles. I just think that getting a hometown kid, right, getting the guy that went to Ohio State, getting a really explosive player in the draft, I think that they that's what they need, right? They need explosive players. And, you know, I think that I think it could go two ways. It can go this, or they need to get offensive linemen to protect Joe Burrow. I'm trying to think of some good. Monroe Freeman from Georgia, I think they could take two. I think that you need to protect Joe Burrow. You need to, you know, because Joe Burrow is going to have to go up against T.J. Watt, Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, all those guys, and Myles Garrett six times a year. And if you don't protect Joe Burrow, it's going to be a long season for him. So I think getting Monroe Freeling here for the Bengals solidifies their offensive line. You know, they have Orlando Brown. They have who else do the Bengals have? They have Ted Karras, who's a great center. But I think getting Monroe Freeling, who's a big offensive lineman who played at Georgia in the SEC, I think solidifies your offensive line. And if you're the Bengals, you need to protect your quarterback. You need to protect Joe Burrow at all costs, because if you don't protect him, then it's going to be a long year for the Bengals. It's going to be a long, long year. It's just because the defensive lineman he has to go up against. So, that's my top 10. You want to do yours real quick?
Fernando, number one. Obviously. No question. Number two. I'm going to take Alvaro Ruiz, too. Mm. He's like the second best prospect after Fernando.
What about Jeremiah Love?
I think, Jeremiah Love is, after Jeremiah Love, it's Alvaro Ruiz. Because like Fernando, it's like you can't compare quarterback to other guys. Because like the quarterback is like the team, basically. Like that's what your team's going to run off.
I think Jeremiah Love is the most explosive player in the draft, and I also think he's best player. I'm not taking anything away from
I don't think there's been a running back like him in a class like this. Like,
maybe since Saquon?
Because like I wouldn't even put Saquon at the top of his class, really. Like he was like top 2, top 3.
He went number 2 overall.
Yeah. Who was in his class?
Baker, him, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
This is like you can't really compare quarterbacks to a running back.
Well, like, in that class, 2018. Oh, I can look it up here. 2018 draft. No, Mahomes was 2017. Let's see here. 2018. All right, I'll go through some of the picks here. All right, let's do this. Baker Mayfield, Saquon, Sam Darnold, Denzel Ward, Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen, Roquan Smith, Mike McGlinchey, Josh Rosen, who I don't even know. He's not in that league anymore. Shouldn't it be? Micah Fitzpatrick, Vita Vea, Darren Payne, Tremaine Edmonds, so Jermaine James, Jair Alexander, Frank Ragnow.
Probably since Saquon Barkley, because I'd put Saquon Barkley at the top of that class. So like since Saquon Barkley, this is like the best running back.
Or since Bijan, probably.
Yeah. Because like I wouldn't – Ashton Jensen was not that good.
No.
Ashton Jensen was not that guy.
No. People could argue with us, but, like, dude is playing against Georgia Southern defenses every single week. Like
Fernando's probably going to make him look pretty good, but, I mean, he's not that guy.
No, he's not. I think he's a solid running back, but I don't think he's elite yet.
So I'd give them Arvel Reese. And then who's the Cardinals?
Yes.
They need a whole team. they just need a whole team. But I'm going to give them someone to protect. Let me look up the big board real quick. They got.
Who did I have them taking? I had. Why am I forgetting who I had them taking? Why am I forgetting who I had them taking? I had Fernando and Arvel Reese number 2. I don't know who I had.
I have no idea.
Why am I forgetting who I had them taking?
I'd give them probably Reuben Bain.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that's kind of a reach. That's kind of like early for him. But I mean,
he's the best defensive line in this class.
But I mean, they need a whole team. They should start with defense. I mean, they already have Marvin Harrison Jr. So I they have, who's the tight end?
Trey McBride.
Yeah, they got Trey McBride. I mean, there's just really not a good option for him here at three.
No.
There's not like a standout guy. Buda Baker. Yeah. I'd give him Reuben Bain.
I forgot who I've been taking.
The Titans, I would give them Jeremiah Love, but it's like they have...
They need a running back.
They have Tony Pollard and they have Ty J. Spears. So it's like they can't just get rid of him or like...
They can have a run-two punch.
I mean, I guess, but they already have like... They've already experimented with the Tony Pollard and Spears. So, I mean, it's not like...
It's just 1 year, though. Like,
yeah. I wouldn't give him Jeremiah Love. I'd give him like... I'd probably give him... Like a defensive type player for him. Mm. Like a...
Caleb Downs or a...
Caleb Downs is kind of... David Bailey.
Okay.
I'd probably give him David Bailey there. The Giants... Dexter Lawrence is... No, Dexter...
He might leave.
No, I don't even think that's his name. Dexter...
Oh,
Yeah, isn't that
his name? For who? Giants?
Giants.
Dexter Lawrence.
Lawrence just requested a trade. So... They're probably going to need some defense up there. I mean, they have a pretty good defense, and they have the offense running. They got Scat, Jackson Dart.
Scat might be out of league in 2 years.
Yeah, with the CTE. And then they got Malik Nabers coming back.
Yeah.
Who else did they pick up?
I had them taking Carnell Tate. They got a bunch of Ravens players. They got, like, Isaiah Likely.
They still got Slayton, Austin.
I think
Calvin
they got
Austin.
Pat Ricard, I think.
They got Darnell Mooney. So it's not like they need really – they don't need, like – a superstar offensive guy. I think they could like shape up their defense a little bit because they got Tremaine Edmonds, I think, in free agency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's solid. He's solid.
They could shape up their defense a little bit. I'd probably give him like a... I'd give him like a Sonny Styles type. No.
Okay.
I wouldn't take him that early, actually. I'd give him someone on defense. Let me look up...
Banana Side and Sonny Styles, as most people are?
Nah. I mean, like, he's okay. He's just not. He's not up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd give it to him. I'd give him Sonny Styles.
Okay.
And then
I like that pick.
The Browns, they need someone to protect the quarterback.
Yeah. If you don't protect Shador, it's gonna be a long year.
Like, I like Kaden Proctor, but that's...
I think
everyone's...
Okay. Here's something about Kaden Proctor. I think he's gonna be a bust.
Yeah.
I think he's like, remember Robert Gallery at Iowa? I think he's going to be a bust. I'm not just saying that because he went to Alabama and he's from Iowa, but I think Kaden Proctor is going to be a bust.
Like on the big board, they have him number 4 overall. But on these drafts, they have him taken like 16th or 17th. Or they don't like him in these drafts.
They shouldn't. I mean, yeah. I don't think he's going to be that good of an NFL player.
I'd give him Monroe Freeling.
Georgia. I agree with that.
They need someone to protect Shador.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have the offense cooking a little bit with their rookies last year. They got... Judkins, they got Harold
Njoku.
Fannin. I think Njoku wants to leave. I think he left.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah. The Browns are terrible. They have Denzel Ward still. They have Myles Garrett.
They definitely need a wide receiver in this class, and I would like them to take Colonel Tate, but I mean, there's going to be wide receivers out there.
Here's something I'll say. If the Giants don't take Colonel Tate, if I'm the Browns, I'm rushing up there. I'm not even taking 1 minute. I'm rushing up there to take Colonel Tate as much as I can, especially because he went to Ohio State. If I'm the Browns and the Giants do not take Colonel Tate, I'm rushing that up there
to take Colonel Tate. If he falls, because people are saying if Caleb Downs falls, they should take him, but they need offense. Like, their defense has been very good these past few years. They have Myles Garrett, the defensive player of the year, like the best defensive player in the league.
Oh, 100%.
So it's not like they need to add anything to that. And they just had the defensive rookie of the year that was kind of, I mean, I would give it to him.
So going back to the best players in the class, you would put Jeremiah Love 1.
I'd put Jeremiah Love 1.
Who'd you put 2?
I'd probably put Arvo Reese.
And then I would put Mendoza 3.
Yeah, Mendoza.
I'm not trying to hit on Mendoza. I just think that there are better athletes in the class than him.
He's just not like a...
Explosive.
Like, he's a blue chip guy, but he's not like... There's not anything like special to him. Like, Lamar Jackson can run.
Yeah.
Like, he's not like a Lamar Jackson type archetype.
Yeah.
Like, he can save your franchise. He can do all that, but he's not like a explosive, like flashy type
of guy. I do think
he
will change the Raiders, especially with the weapons that they have around him. But he's not really like Jaden said. He's not really that athleticism.
He's not a Jeremiah Love type guy. Like, no. Jeremiah Love can, like, totally
whatever team gets him, it's going to change your franchise immediately.
Like, he can be a Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
That's what he can be.
If they put the right offensive line around him, he could be the next Saquon Barkley or the next Bijan even.
But,
and I think, okay, one more thing. Sorry. Whatever team gets Arvo Reese, most explosive player in this. I think 1A, 1B, most explosive players in this draft. Jeremiah Love and Arvo Reese. Arvo Reese just screams a good football player. And I think if the Jets get him at number 2, That, especially with Aaron Gwinnett as a defensive minded coach.
That's what they should aim for.
Exactly. Especially because, like I just said, Aaron Gwinnett is a defensive minded coach, and he was a great defensive coordinator with the Lions. That's a great pick right there. I love what the Jets are doing with that. Go ahead. I need to finish your draft.
Number six was Monroe Freeling. But I mean, if Chrono Tate's there, I'd grab him.
I wouldn't blame him for taking him.
It's not like there's not going to be too many good O linemen at their neck because they have like the 24th pick too in the first round.
So Browns?
I mean, yeah. So I mean, there's going to be more wide receivers there than offensive linemen, and they need a really good offensive lineman.
I think this wide receiver class is really deep. Yeah. I mean, you have Lemon, you have Chrono Tate, you have who else you have? I'm blanking on names. You have Lemon, Chrono Tate,
Lemon, Makai Lemon. There's the dude from
Zachariah Branch.
Denzel Boston.
Yeah, Denzel Boston.
And then there's the dude from Jordan Tyson from Arizona
Jordan
State.
Yeah, Jordan Tyson. I don't know why I was blanking on
him. And
names.
Then Casey. What, Concepcion. Yep. I mean, there's going to be wide receivers there to pick from, but I mean.
Who do you think the best receiver in his draft class is?
I'd say Chrono Tate.
You think so?
I mean, in college, yes, but I mean, for
NFL, for Denzel Boston could be really
for
good.
For potential in the NFL, I'd take a player like...
I think Lemon can be really good.
I'd probably take Jordan Tyson. I like Jordan Tyson as a player.
Yeah, I do too. I like... All right, so go ahead and...
So I'd give him the O-lineman there, but I mean, I wouldn't be mad at him if they took Chrono Tate because they need some offense. Either. But I mean, there's going to be wide receivers down there for their next pick. Like we just said, like there's Lemon, there's Jordan Tyson, there's going to be KC right there.
I think Jordan Tyson will be a first-round pick, but I think he'll be second or third round.
There's going to be players for him right there, so I'll give him Monroe... What did I say?
Freeling.
And then seventh, you have to jump. If you're the Commanders, you have to jump on...
Caleb Downs.
No, I still have Jeremiah Love. You have to jump on Jeremiah Love.
Okay. Don't they already have Brian Robinson?
Yeah. No, he signed with
the
Falcons. So, I mean, they only have like...
Yeah, I could see that. That would be a good pickup for them.
So, I'd jump on him if he's still there.
But what if Caleb Downs is there too?
Yeah.
If Jeremiah Love or Caleb Downs is there, who'd you take in? Most explosive player versus best player.
I'd take Jeremiah Love just because, like sometimes when you don't have a need or
you have to go best player available.
If you don't have a need or you have too many needs, you just take best player available.
Yeah.
You take the most explosive that can flip around a franchise. And if worst comes to worst, you can trade him to a different team, and he still has trade
value. Like, look at Eli Manning. Yeah. Got drafted by the Chargers. Got traded to the Giants.
So I mean. I would jump on Jeremiah Love if I was in, but I wouldn't be mad if they took Caleb Downs.
No, I wouldn't either.
Because Caleb Downs is a great player as well. But the Saints, have I said Sonny Styles yet?
No.
I'd give him Sonny Styles there. Picks up their defense.
Great pick.
I mean,
he's not as explosive as Alvaro Reese, but he's still a great linebacker.
I mean, they just really need everything there. I mean, just like the Cardinals, they just need everything there. It's like they're not going to compete for a couple years.
No, especially
maybe if they get like a good quarterback next year, like a standout quarterback. But
If Arch develops,
I mean,
dude, his grandfather played for them, so that'd be crazy.
So I'd give him Sonny Styles, and then the Chiefs, number nine, take Caleb Downs if he's there. You have to jump on.
But
Caleb.
You have,
I mean, they just traded their
Brian Cook. Or no, he left.
Who'd they trade? The Rams?
No, he was a corner, though.
Yeah.
McDuffie's gone. I don't know why they still traded McDuffie. That was dumb. But they traded McDuffie to the Rams, which I think was dumb. Some other guy went to the Rams, Joshua Williams. But you want to take Reuben Bain over him?
Reuben Bain? He went third.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Sorry. I like that pick. Explosive. I think he's the most. I think him and Jeremiah Love are the most explosive players in this draft. Caleb Downs, like Jeremiah Love, is going to change a franchise. Whatever team drafts Caleb Downs is going to be so excited because they're going to get a blue chip football player.
If not Caleb Downs, I would give him Francis, however you say his name,
Mayoga
to protect Mahomes. I mean, he hasn't really been protected the last few years.
Joe Tooney made a big impact on that.
He's on the Bears.
Yes, and.
And it's just like he hasn't been protected like he has been, so that's been an issue with his struggles. Like, and now he's torn his ACL.
And thank God Juwan Taylor's off that team. Yeah. Jesus, that man's a walking.
It's like they were just giving up Mahomes, just like in that Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl. Remember that?
He swarmed every single play. He was swarmed.
So I mean, Caleb Downs, I wouldn't be mad at him, but I mean at the same time, they probably want to protect Mahomes so he doesn't get another bad injury, career ending. So I mean, either or really.
Yeah. And if you get Caleb Downs, she's fantastic.
Caleb Downs is going to be a great player.
He's a blue chip
sometimes
player.
You just have to take best available if it's a great player. Like, if you get Jeremiah Love, if Jeremiah Love or Caleb Downs falls into your lap, I think sometimes you just have to take them.
Yeah, and those two, I just said, are blue chip players. Yes. Arvo Reese is two.
Say Arvo Reese drops to three or four.
But he could.
If he was, he probably won't. And he just wasn't on your board because you didn't expect that. Sometimes you just have to take it. Oh. If he falls into your lap, you just have to take it.
Yeah. Especially with, if the Chiefs get him,
yeah,
such so a blue chip player going to make your
Caleb
team.
I'd say Caleb Downs if he's still there, but I mean, me personally, I'd give him Francis, however you
say it. Mayoga, say it.
For number 9, and then 10, since I haven't, I'd give him Caleb Downs.
Yes.
Jump on Caleb Downs.
Especially because he's from Ohio, Josh Downs is his older brother. Plays for the Colts. He's a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Imagine Caleb going up against Josh. Hey, what up? Hey, what up, little bro? How you doing?
He locks him up.
Yeah, hey, little bro, I'm going to lock you.
He gets head-tapped.
Yeah. Imagine head-tapping your little bro. That'd be crazy. I wanted to see that with Stephon and Trayvon Diggs. Just hey, yo, I'll meet you in the end zone. When I have the ball, I'll give it to you. But yeah.
But I mean, there's still a lot of great players that we haven't even talked about.
But I think I wouldn't blame the Bengals for going offensive lineman because you got to you got to protect Joe Burrow.
So you could go you could flip flop the Chiefs and Bengals pick.
Yeah, because
so you could get Caleb Downs because he'll be good to add. But you have to protect Mahomes and Burrow.
Especially because Burrow's going up against Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, and T.J. Watt six times a year.
It depends on who's there at the board. It's hard to do a projection because you don't know what teams are going to pick.
Yeah.
So you don't know who's going to be there at your pick.
Yeah, and I love the Caleb Downs pick to the Bengals. You know, just such an I think he's the most explosive player in the draft. Him and Jeremiah Love are 1A, 1B. Just such a great football player. Knows the game, studies the game. Reminds me a lot of a Mika Fitzpatrick type player. Just a hard-hitting safety. Has a nose for the ball. Makes big plays when he needs to. Is a hard-hitting safety. Just knows football and loves the game of football. And I think the Bengals get a home run hire. I keep saying that. Home run draft pick by drafting Caleb Downs to their franchise. And if Caleb Downs is there, like you said, if I'm Bengals, I'm submitting my card right away.
Yeah.
As soon as the next team makes their pick.
Soon as they see the Chiefs didn't select him, take him.
Take him. Not even a question. As soon as I see the Bengals name, I should see the pick is
in. I understand you have to protect your quarterback, but they had the pick between Ja'Marr Chase and whoever it was.
Penei Sewell.
Yeah. And I mean, Sometimes you just have to pick best
and
available.
That's been worked out pretty well. Jamar Chase is the best receiver in the NFL right now.
Best offense, basically. They be scoring 50, but they give up 50. So, I mean, at some point, you have to take the defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you always have to protect your quarterback. But, I mean, Joe Burrow, he knows how to move around the pocket now.
But also,
he hasn't been protected.
If he doesn't get the ball to Jamar Chase, he's going to want to trade out of there. And plus, you have to go up again instead against T.J. Watt.
They should try to get Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase on the same team.
Hey, LSU reincarnated for the 2019 insane. LSU days. That team, I'm going to say this one last time. That team is the best college football team I think I've ever seen play. I mean, that team was just dominating every single team that they played. I mean, the game was over by halftime most of their games, except for the national championship game, but yeah, man, it was.
But Dunker's a great pick too. Whoever gets him.
Oh yeah, dude, that dude embodies an Iowa football player. I mean, the mullet, man. Do you see what he says that he eats Culver's in a protein shake before? Dude is crazy, man.
And also,
if the Bears get Dunker,
whoever gets Jacob Rodriguez, that's a gem in disguise. I don't know why he's so not hyped up.
He literally won the Buckus Award for best linebacker
in
college football.
How is he the seventh best linebacker in the class? I just don't understand that. I get Arvo Reese the hype. I get that. Yeah. Sonny Styles, but I mean, it's Jacob Rodriguez. He was in talks for the Heisman.
He was seventh place in the Heisman, and you're saying he's the seventh best linebacker in the draft? How does it make any sense? Mel Kiper, are you? If you really are an expert, you would rank Jacob Rodriguez higher than most people.
Whoever gets him, it's going
to
be a great
If the Bears
pick.
Get him, I'm going to be so happy.
He'll turn out to be a great player.
We need a next franchise linebacker, and if we get Jacob Rodriguez, you're talking about the next Brian Urlacher. I mean, I would be so happy. It'd make me even more happy if the Bears got him, just because, you know, I've been saying he's the best linebacker in the class.
But, I mean, whoever gets him, they're going to get a steal.
Oh, 100%.
That's probably going to be the steal of the draft.
Yeah, and I'm surprised the Miami Dolphins don't have a top 10 pick. They're going to be so bad next year. They're going to have – who's their best receiver going to be?
Malik Washington.
Who? They're gonna have Malik Willis throwing to Malik Washington. I mean,
dude, like,
who? What has Malik Washington done in his career?
That might be like the worst team ever. They might go 0-17. Actually,
they might be worse than the Browns in 2017, bro. Like, but Malik Willis showed signs last year when he started. But like,
I mean, he actually had a team around him. Like, he had good wide receivers. Like, the Packers had depth that wide receiver.
But like, so did Jordan Love. But he didn't do as well. But
I mean, they got Achane. Like, it's gonna be like a. What's it called? It's going to be a handoff type game and checkdowns all game.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. Like, they have Malik Washington. They have Tutu Atwell.
Oh.
Jalen Tolbert. Oh. They have a bunch of, like, third-string wide
washed
receivers.
Washed-up third-string receivers. I want to get into this real quick. But, yeah, we're looking forward to the draft. It's going to be a great time. We'll be here before I know it. And I want to do this real quick. Is Brock Purdy a top 10 quarterback in the NFL?
No.
All right. Let's name
his his best year... Potentially, maybe, but right now, no.
All right, I'll name 10 quarterbacks better than him: Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Drake May, K.O. Williams, Matthew Stafford. Who else is up there? Did I say Dak? Yeah, I said Dak. I say Joe Burrow is better than him. Why am I blanking on names here? All right, let's just start over. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, Drake May, Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford. Yeah, we need to write these down, man. All right. All right. So Dak won. Dak is obviously better than him. Mahomes is better than him. Mahomes, Josh Allen. Matthew Stafford is better than him. I would say Aaron Rodgers is better than him, too. I would say Drake May is better. K.O. Williams is better. How many do we have right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're at 7 right now. Baker, I think, is better than him. Baker Mayfield. A healthy Baker Mayfield. That's 8. So Dak, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Baker May. Oh, Lamar Jackson. Easily better than him. And I would put Joe Burrow ahead of him, too. I'll say Brock Purdy's better than Jalen Hurts. I'll give him that. I'll say he's better than Jordan Love, too. Is this accurate to you?
I could low-key give you, like, 20 players, honestly.
I think Brock Purdy's better than Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts.
I could probably give you 20 players. All right.
So, add on to this list if you can.
Yeah. So I'll just add on to yours. So you said...
Dak?
Like, I don't like hating on my boy, but, like, he got CMC, he got Kittle, he got... He's gonna have Mike Evans now.
Yeah,
like
there's literally no room for him to fail.
I think
he's better than Jordan Love, and I think he's better than Jalen Hurts.
Best defense that year against the Chiefs, and he just folded. Like he just couldn't win the Super Bowl.
I will give him credit, Jaden. I think he's better than Jalen Hurts, and he's better than Jordan Love. I'll give him that.
Like Mac Jones was doing good at the team. That's how you know it. He's like a system quarterback.
Yeah,
like
Jimmy G was good for.
I want to place him on the Jets to see how he would do.
Yeah,
he wouldn't turn out terrible.
He would be out of the league.
So add on to your list. I'd give Hurts.
Oh, I'd Hurts. Give Hurts. Well, you put Hurts over Brock Purdy?
I give Hurts.
I don't agree with that.
11.
Off the
bench.
Herbert.
Off the bench, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like off the couch, Tom Brady.
I don't agree with Jalen Hurts, but you can say that. I think
that's
12. Brock Purdy's better.
Who did you say?
Justin Herbert. Definitely better than him.
Herbert. He just don't perform in the playoffs when it matters.
But he's better than him.
13. Honestly, last year, who do you have? Last year, Darnold, honestly.
I put Bo Nix ahead of him.
This is 14.
Bo Nix,
15. Honestly, freshman year, C.J. Stroud.
I think C.J. Stroud is better than him, too.
Stroud, that's 16.
Well, not in the playoffs, so when he threw 4 picks. And
Love, he's just a...
Trevor Lawrence.
That's, yeah.
Forgot about him.
Was this 17?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, 17. We got, honestly, I give it to Goff.
Oh, I don't know how I forgot about Goff. Goff is better. Definitely better.
Who did you? You said Drake, man.
Dorock Maye. I don't agree with Hurts.
I'm not going to lie to you. I would take Daniel Jones last season over him.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
We're getting kind of crazy here, but I mean, yeah. Brock Purdy is just a system quarterback. Yeah. I mean,
I don't agree with Hurts, but every other person I agree with. I think he's better than Hurts, but.
Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah. Better than him. How do we forget about him? That should have been one of the first people that
That's
I wrote
20. There. I could honestly keep going, honestly. I think.
Tyson. No, not Bajan. Not Bajan. No. I'm just thinking of quarterbacks.
I could think of, like, backups that are better.
Jacoby Brissett? Gardner Minshew, maybe?
Sometimes Brock Purdy is just a liability on offense. On Tyler Shug last season at the end.
No. He's better than Tyler.
Jackson Dart.
No.
I give it to Jackson Dart.
I don't agree with that. Okay, maybe in the future, but I don't think he's better right now.
Okay, we got 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Better than Brock Purdy.
I would take Jalen Hurts off, but every other one I agree with. Except for... Wait, let me see the list here real quick. I agree with Lawrence. I agree with Goff. Daniel Jones, yes, this season. Jaden, yes. Jacob, I don't agree with Jack. Okay, I'll say he's... I think potential-wise, yes, but... Joe Flacco.
I'd put Fernando in front of him right now. He hasn't even played a snap yet.
Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Let's wait till he plays a snap here real quick. All right, but I like this list a lot. I think it's very... what about Kyler Murray? No.
Nah.
He can't even see over his own line, but I think this is a great list. Very, very good list for sure. And
like Tom Brady, honestly, off the couch would do better
than
Brock
Purdy. Phil Rivers did better last year. He was just throwing a ball like this. But you say all these quarterbacks are better than Jordan Love? I would say so. Jordan Love is not good. I'd put Malik Willis ahead of him. No, I'm kidding. I would not put Malik Willis ahead of Purdy, but I think a lot of people would.
I don't like Love, but I mean, I got to give him credit somehow.
I'll give Purdy credit. Purdy's better than Love. But yeah, I like this. I think a lot of people would not like this list.
If someone was a Brock Purdy
Niners fan, they would be.
He's a top five quarterback, guys.
No. Like, we just named 20 quarterbacks that are better than him without even putting his own name in there. That's just.
I could name the whole league that's better than J.J. McCarthy. Literally the whole
league. He's the worst QB in the league. I would put Kyler Murray ahead of him, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know how he's in the NFL, bro. Like. He's just, he's
I
not
would
good.
Actually put Fernando in front of him.
Oh, like 100. He hasn't even played a snap yet, and I have to say he's better. Okay, Brock Purdy's better than J.J. McCarthy. Let's get that out of.
That's like next level hate if you think Brock Purdy's worse than him. Like,
what is J.J. McCarthy can't even complete a pass. He's so bad. Okay, is he better than Anthony Richardson, J.J. McCarthy?
No. Honestly, no.
Both can't even complete a pass.
Like, Anthony Richardson can just bomb it 70 yards. And, I mean, the wide receiver's going to catch it at some point.
And McCarthy was just... Here's his game plan.
Hand it over to Blake Corum. Hand it over to Donovan Edwards.
That's all we had to do. But, yeah. I like this a lot. I think it's... and I think... Ty Simpson, whatever team gets him, I think he could be like a Purdy, but I don't think that he...
He could be decent. Like, he could be...
I think only one quarterback goes in the first round. Maybe Ty Simpson in. Maybe. I mean, besides that, I mean, the quarterback class is kind of weak.
There's like one quarterback.
Because look,
maybe two.
There are three out of here that are from the 2024 class. Drake May, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels. That's
like
four.
This is a wide receiver class this year.
Oh, 100%. And maybe running back in offensive line, I think, is deep.
But there's just no... Like, if you need a quarterback this season, I mean, shucks. You're out of luck. I mean, you can get a decent backup quarterback in the draft, but I mean, none of them are, like, starter worthy besides Fernando and...
Maybe Ty Simpson.
Yeah, Ty Simpson.
Maybe Kate Klumnick, too. That's all I got for us today, Jaden. It was good being back with you today. Jaden, good sports talk today. Yeah. And Northwest actually beat a Hoover 1-0 soccer. Go Wolves, baby. Come on now, Jaden. Go Wolves. Hey, I'll chew.
Hoover's not even going to be a team. I mean, Hoover's not going to be a school. Did you hear that? They're doing that re-imaging thing.
Yeah, you told me about that.
It's insane. Like, in 2030, it's just not, it's going to be a STEM school.
The downfall of Hoover High School.
They're going to have to, like, go to Roosevelt, actually, like, full-time for academics and everything.
That's wild.
Downfall of Hoover. I got to write an article.
The downfall of my Hoover. Alma mater. But I'll cheer for Hoover when I'm not playing against Northwest, right? Obviously, I had to cheer for Northwest because I went there and you went to Hoover. But, yeah, we won 1-0, baby. Come on now. Let's go, Wolves. Yeah, man. Good to be back here talking with you. And hopefully that, you know. Oh, the Masters is beginning real quick. We'll be watching Masters. The Masters.
Well, my brother is really big into golf, so it'll probably be on the TV.
Who's even in it this year? I don't even.
Scottie Scheffler.
Obviously, sure. Tiger's not because of the stuff that's. Yeah. He should just retire. He should just.
I don't know what's going on with him.
Tiger is just.
They said he's the best and worst driver, because like he'd be driving on the field like his driver, but then
that's funny, bro. That's so hilarious.
But then like they had like a golf ad in the store and it said drive like Tiger. So I'm not doing that.
Heck no. All right, so I assume Scotty would be there. Bryson would probably be there. Roy, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele would probably be there. I'm not really a big
Matsuyama.
Golf. Yeah, probably. I think he'll be there. John
Rahm. It just depends
on
who makes the cut.
Yeah. John Rahm, I think, would be there. But I will be probably watching some of the Masters. But Jaden, good to be talking to you, as always, man. And you want to promote the socials here?
Check us out on campuschronicle.news.com, our website. We're going to have some new stuff dropping soon.
Dropping soon, man. Good stuff. If you want to come visit us.
We're always in Building 5.
I'm looking at the Campus Chronicle. It's a room that says the Campus Chronicle right on it. Come on in. We'd love to have you.
And, big glass door.
Big glass door. And
find us on Instagram, TikTok, and X at DMAT Chronicle. Always new social media posts. We're revamping.
Yep.
Re-imaging like Hoover.
Yeah. Like Hoover. Until next time.
We will see you guys next time.
See you next time. Peace.